Good evening. Hello. Welcome to the June 19th meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I have Kathy Covert's eyes on my back, reminding me that the first thing should have been the public hearing before I called the legislature meeting to order. Do I have to undo that? Okay. First, let me first call the public hearing on the Tompkins Community Courtland, Tompkins TC3. TC3 operating budget for 2018-2019. Is there anyone here to speak about the TC3 budget? Blixie Tate, where'd she go? Where'd you go, Blixie? Blixie, why don't you go to the microphone and introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Blixie Tate, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer for TC3. And I'm here to speak in favor of our budget and thank everybody for their support.
Thank you, Blixie. And if you don't mind, are there any questions from the legislators on TC3's budget? We had a presentation a few weeks ago. Any questions? Mike Lane.
Blixie, have you heard anything different from Cortland County?
No, I haven't. In fact, their finance committee approved our budget this morning, and it stands as is at this time, with no increase in sponsor share.
Thank you.
Thank you, Blixie. Would anyone else like to address the legislature on the TC3 budget? Thank you. I'll close the public hearing. Roll call of members, please.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Ooh, I am present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Ms. Black?
Here.
Ms. Champion?
Here.
Ms. Dawson?
Here.
Mr. Granison?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Here.
Mr. Klein has asked to be excused. Ms. Gorman?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
13 members present.
Thank you. I'm going to do a little juggling. I would like us to take the first we will take the resolution K on the TC3 budget. Then we'll go to public privilege of the floor. And then I would like to take the TCAD presentation and resolution, and then we'll go back to the regular order, if that's okay. So, Mike Lane, would you take resolution K? It's on page 99 of your packets.
I sure will. It's the adoption of the 2018-2019 operating budget, Tompkins-Cortland Community College, and I move it.
Seconded by Leslin. Is there any discussion? Mike.
I just want to say that, as most of us know here, that we've had discussions with Cortland County about the possibility of an increase for the college. Cortland has not done that, and we have to adopt the same budget. TC3 has requested a budget with no increase. They want to look at it again next year. So I just want everyone to know there is no increase. It's a 0% again this year.
Mike, would you mind reminding us some of the things that they've done to actually cut costs we heard in the presentation?
Well, I guess I would ask Blixie if she could speak to that. They've done a lot, including consolidation of positions and retirements. Go ahead, Blixie.
Could you get a little closer to the mic? Doesn't seem like it's on. Try the other one, or sit at the table. Go ahead, have a seat. And then I'll have Henry and Rich.
Okay. So the cost-cutting measures that we've done in the past year include eliminating 13 positions. It included givebacks from two of our labor unions, which in my history is unprecedented. It included a lot of curtailment of spending in other areas as well. So it was a challenging process, but we feel we did a good job to try to cut spending while not cutting services to our students.
Thank you, Blixie. I've got Henry and then Rich.
I'd like to recuse myself from this debate because I work for TC3.
Jonathan, any comment on that?
Yeah, we spoke about it, and that would seem appropriate.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Henry. Now, Rich.
Blixie, thank you for coming, and thank you for all your work on this budget. I know how hard it was this year to get to the number and to accommodate the two counties. Frankly, going forward, I know that Tompkins County and Cortland County have to come to a better accommodation to make sure we're supporting TC3. It is just a jewel of our community, and it's so essential to the students who are going there, the difference it makes in our community. We need to protect that, and I hope next year we can do a better job. I apologize that we're not in a position to vote for some improvement in your financial condition from this side.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your support, and I can't disagree with what your sentiments are.
Thank you, Blixie. And we're going to continue our conversations with the Cortland County legislators. We think there's some opportunity. It just takes a little while.
Yep.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Blixie.
And well, I'm sorry, with one abstention. Sorry. Thanks for the reminder. Thank you, Blixie.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. All right. We're going to go to public privilege of the floor. By signing one of the blue forms, which are in the back if you need one. You agree that I agree to a 3-minute time limit, and the clock is up on the wall. I agree not to raise my voice. I agree not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of the peace. I agree not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance about named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, I agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. I agree that if I cause a disruption and am asked to leave, I will leave the chambers. And the next person should know these rules well. Welcome, Carol Chalk, former county legislator. And followed by Reggie Teasley. Carol? Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Welcome back.
Okay, I've never done this before. Does that work?
That's good.
Okay, I am Carol Chalk. I live in the city of Ithaca. And it's really interesting to be back here on this side. I'm here to talk about the Cayuga Power Plant and the rumors we are hearing that that there will be a proposal to repower with natural gas. I'm going to try to put aside my anger from 4 years during which the Cayuga Power Plant told its residential and business customers it couldn't afford to operate without millions of dollars from us, but then stayed open when our payments expired. Some of those reliability payments were used to buy the very equipment that now helps position them to install gas potentially. I'm here tonight to ask that this new legislature weigh in and put a stop to the continued operation of this plant using dirty coal or methane gas. If the owners want to convert to something truly renewable, I'll be the first one in here talking about it and talking about a package of support. But the amount of methane that will be burned in the proposed conversion fits nowhere in Tompkins County's energy roadmap. During my time on this legislature, we proudly announced our goals to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Please review the County Comprehensive Plan and Energy Roadmap, the addition of the Energy Navigator to this year's budget, the extensive history summarized on the Planning Department's webpage, and the legislature's meeting portal for its own history. And I think that Michelle or Kathy can give you a summary, it's probably a running summary from all those years of resolutions that we passed related to clean energy and our goals. When New York State wanted to allow fracking here, this legislature passed at least eight separate resolutions, most of them unanimously, saying it was unhealthy for the environment, uneconomic, and unsafe to have in our communities, even at the cost of the potential town and county tax dollars, which we investigated. We said no to fracking. Here's my key sentence. Why, then, would we want to allow that same fracked gas to be highly compressed, trucked through our county, exposing our residents to the same dangers, and burned to release those same methane gas emissions now? It just makes no sense. Let's look at whether we can depend on this company to protect either their workers or the public interest. The basic structure of this plant is 65 years old. It's had two serious fires in the last 4 years. It has discharged mercury into Cayuga Lake at thousands of times permitted limits without notice. Was that 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Okay. One more sentence. Okay.
It doesn't have a safe history. So where is the line that we will not cross here in Tompkins County to protect our public and the environment related to energy? I'm counting on you folks.
Are we on?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Reggie Teasley. Okay. I'm Reggie Teasley. I live in the city of Ithaca.
Reggie. Let me call people and then so I can tell the next person. So, Reggie Teasley and then Adam Law.
Pardon.
Okay.
Pardon me.
Go ahead.
I brought something to pass around so people would have something to look at.
Sorry.
I must raise my voice in opposition to repower the Cayuga power plant. We have repeatedly been urged to think globally and act locally. If there was ever a time to do it, it's now. The aging coal-fired Cayuga power plant has been funded by consumers to limp along while polluting our people and land. Now, rather than ending its run, the plan is to revive it using fracked gas, most likely delivered by truck. Can we really be once again facing the lie that gas is a bridge fuel? Will consumers have to continue to pay for this outdated behemoth while other parts of our nation lead in the development and use of renewables? We're Tompkins County. Why aren't we leading the move to renewables? Were the Paris Accords simply a charade? The effects of global warming and climate change are already being felt. It affects farmers and their ability to grow crops. It jeopardizes growing numbers of coastal towns and cities. Our health is jeopardized through hotter summer days. Did you notice there was just a warning the other day? And increasing diseases such as Lyme and other tick-borne illnesses. And I bet you know somebody who's had that. There are droughts and fires in the West and so on. We're making our future power sources now. We are either contributing to the climate crisis by continuing to use fossil fuels, or we are moving to renewables and a more sustainable way of life. I urge you to take whatever action you can to stop this ill-conceived plan.
Thank you. Thank you, Reggie. Adam Law and then Sarah Hess. And the other reason to wait for me is that Kathy can start the clock. Thanks.
My name is Adam Law, and I'm a Tompkins County resident and local physician practicing endocrinology and internal medicine. I'm a founding co-member of Physicians, Scientists, and Engineers for Healthy Energy and currently the board president. The aim of our group is to bring science to energy policy. I've heard a rumor that the Cayuga power plant is about to announce a plan to burn natural gas for use at peaking usage times. I thought this issue had been resolved and that an update to the local grid had been completed for power unreliability to Nucor Steel Incorporated in Auburn. Here are four points underlying the current scientific evidence against this. Number one, energy storage prices are plummeting nationally. Multiple peaker power plant projects are being cancelled as there is a major cost win for energy storage. Number two, climate change is advancing at a faster pace than predicted, and methane is 86 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. Number three, the entire life cycle of unconventional natural gas production uses the process colloquially known as fracking and has health and environmental impacts. Number four, energy storage creates energy security for emergencies. Trucked in natural gas is by its nature insecure and potentially a hazard. Storage coupled with solar provides local energy storage, but large-scale storage or the use of distributed energy sources are alternatives. We're an educated community that has time and time again looked at the evidence and rejected the climate, environmental, and health hazards of unconventional fossil fuels. I call on the Tompkins County Legislature to support a renewable energy alternative using modern energy storage options to provide peaker power for our local grid. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Sarah Hess and then Paul Rossi.
Hi, I'm Sarah Hess. I live in the city of Ithaca, and I'm here also to speak about the Cayuga Power Plant. When I heard the rumor about converting the plant to gas, I wondered why they would want to spend the money. I don't know, of course, but I believe that they think with a cheaper but not cleaner source of fuel, they would try to make more money for their latest owner, the Blackstone Group, a private equity firm with $20 billion worth of assets. They may also say they want to protect the jobs of the 37 people who are currently employed there. But what is the county's role in this matter? Not to give a permit, that's the state's job. Your responsibility is the same as it's always been, to protect our water, our air, and the safety of our residents. One way to do that, an important way, is to ensure that we're reaching our climate goals by reducing the use of all polluting fossil fuels. In burning gas, the plant would continue to add pollution and greenhouse gases into our lake and our air, even more than the current plant emits, because leaked methane, as has been said, is about 90 times more potent in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide. And the leaks occur in transport, in on-site storage, and, of course, in the extraction process. All the while, people on our roads would be less safe from potential accidents and explosions. So the last thing we need is for more fossil fuel infrastructure put into this old polluting plant. Please stand in opposition. Instead, I urge you to strongly support responsible closing of this outdated coal plant, including dealing with the growing ash piles and continuing leachate waste disposal. And please don't let the county or the state be stuck with those costs. That happens way too often. If closed, the plant would still have valuable assets, including its hookup to the grid and transmission lines that could be used for renewable energy sources and energy storage, too, as has been mentioned before. More and more states are requiring utility companies to purchase energy storage in order to balance renewables like solar and wind, which are intermittent, and also to increase grid resiliency overall. Assemblywoman Barbara Lifton helped to create a state fund to help with the transition of plant closures, such as this one. The state could and should step up with an economic and safe transition plan. I'm sure that's something all of us would support. Thank you.
Paul Rossi and then Ann Rhodes.
My apologies that my back is to you. My name is Paul Rossi, and I work on behalf of the Ithaca Board of Realtors, and I feel very out of place at today's meeting. So excuse me for interrupting. I just wanted to come and thank the legislature, all of the staff of the county, for your hard work on the housing issues that you're dealing with here in Tompkins County. I joked with Martha after the housing committee yesterday. Of the 15 counties that I work in for my job, Tompkins is the only county that is actually doing the hard work. Everyone's talking about the same housing crises, all the problems of affordable housing or livable housing. You're the ones who were actually taking it by the ball and doing it. I mean, you guys are really, you should be proud of yourselves, and all of you should be proud of your legislators, because you're actually doing the hard work. You're putting your money where your mouth is. You're doing it here. You're doing it public. And yesterday I was so impressed to hear, hey, we have to remember to be transparent to our citizens, the people who we're here to represent. I don't hear that a lot. And like I said, in 15 counties, I'm always impressed when I come back to Tompkins. I think I've been here for about 80% of your meetings the last 3 years. I don't often say things, but I do often say to people, I don't care about your politics. Tompkins County is one of my favorite places to be because of this hard work that your elected officials do for you. They are not afraid to make hard decisions, and I'm so impressed with all of you. So, Martha, I'm speaking today, and I'm thanking you and Mike Lane and all of you for all your hard work. Jason, congratulations on being here. You are in the best county in New York State right now. So I just wanted to say that. It has nothing to do with fossil fuels or the power plant, but you need to hear an attaboy and thank you and a pat on the back, and I'm here to give it to you tonight. Thank you very much.
Well, Paul, thank you. Let's give that man another 3 minutes, right? Ann Rhodes and then Alyssa Evett. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that.
Hi, I'm Ann Rhodes. I live in the village of Freeville. I know that everybody in this room understands that the repowering of the Cayuga plant is a bad idea, even though you may not be able to admit it politically. But we live in an era right now when we cannot be thinking about what is the right political response. We cannot be thinking about what is the right economic response. We must be thinking about what is the moral response. And the moral response to the Cayuga plant is to shut it down. Thank you.
Alyssa Evett and then David Brown.
My name is Alyssa Evett, and I live in the town of Caroline. And I'm a member of the local chapter of Mothers Out Front. And I choose to speak to you today out of my concern that unless we take drastic measures now to get off fossil fuels, my darling grandchildren and grandchildren around the world will be faced with a miserable existence on an unlivable planet. Which brings me to speak about its relevance to this local issue. It's time to put a halt to the Cayuga power plant's devious and deceitful shenanigans at the expense of ratepayers and Tompkins County residents. Since 2011, when it declared bankruptcy, it has been a leech, asking to be paid millions and millions of dollars in order to keep the facility open, even while it's not even producing power. And now it wants to bring its aging facility with an abysmal safety and environmental record back online. In recent history, the plant has caught fire and experienced a second life-threatening incident. It has illegally discharged mercury into Cayuga Lake, and it dumps 25 million gallons of untreated coal ash leachate into Cayuga Lake annually. These alone are reasons enough for the legislature to do everything in its power to shut the plant down once and for all. For a period of time, the plant made nice with us, dangling the idea of transforming the property into a solar farm, but that idea has clearly been put on hold. Now they're planning to repower the plant using natural gas, the worst greenhouse gas producing fossil fuel there is. And to add insult to injury, they propose to bring that climate change perpetrator, natural gas, to the plant by truck in what are accurately dubbed bomb trucks, because an accident involving such trucks carrying a highly explosive substance can cause bomb-like damage to a community unlucky enough to be the site of such an accident. How can our county legislator countenance the possibility of such a disaster taking place on our local pothole-ridden roads? I implore the legislature, at the very least, to pass resolutions in favor of shutting down the plant and prohibiting bomb truck travel, travel on our roads, and at most, to explore ways to put pressure on state government to adopt measures to protect our citizens from the menace that is the Cuga power plant. Thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa. David Brown and then Irene Weiser.
Hello, my name is David Brown. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm afraid I don't have prepared statements because I just heard about this about an hour and a half ago. But it's a wonderful to see everybody here. I'm an Ithacan. I live in Danby at present. I was raised in Ithaca, though I had the good fortune to be raised with our streams and our lake. And I just want to say I've left for a good long time. I moved back with my family because I knew it was a quality place to be. And the quality of life here is so contingent upon the quality of the water system we have. And in my travels, I'm a filmmaker, and in my travels I saw a lot of places where they don't have the privilege of fresh, clean water. And it makes us truly wealthy in the realest sense of the word. And anything that can possibly jeopardize our water resource should not even be considered, let alone anything pertaining to or utilizing fossil fuel. I had the bad fortune to be filming the Exxon Valdez mess in 87. And the one single most prominent lesson of that was that systemic failure is inevitable. It's inevitable. It's not if, it's when. And you can always hope that if that happens, people will do the right thing and try to learn and move on. But from what I've seen of the fossil fuel industry there and elsewhere, that's not what they do. They try to cover it up and go on to the Gulf of Mexico or Tompkins County if we let it happen here. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Irene Weiser and then Brian Eden.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. I'm Irene Weiser. I'm a town board member in the town of Caroline. Tonight I am speaking on my own behalf and not representing the town. I'm also the coordinator of Fossil Free Tompkins, which I'm proud to say has been involved in the fight to oppose this power plant's repowering for the past 5 years. We fought and won once with the Public Service Commission and NYSEG, both on our side, opposing this power plant's repowering because the correct thing to do, which is what was chosen, is to build the grid and reinforce the grid because that's the infrastructure we need in the future. And 5 years ago, this was a hard issue for that legislature. There's been some change, and I'm very hopeful that there's been some change of heart as well, because I long heard the concerns that this power plant is the county's largest taxpayer. The reality is that the tax payments or pilot payments from this plant have been declining over the past 10 years. And they're now at the lowest point that they've been. They continue to go down as part of the pilot agreement for the next 3 years. There needs to be continued planning, and honestly, I'm not sure that there was much done other than the pilot agreements to manage the revenue decline. The Lansing School District has done a fabulous job, and I believe that they're well situated. I don't know what's in place in the county. But the reality is, you guys, we cannot keep going in this direction. 5 years ago, I get it, it was still kind of new that, you know, maybe gas is okay. Gas is not okay. Gas is not okay, and there isn't a person in this room that could deny that. So there's what Cayuga can do, and there's what Cayuga should do. They can, I believe, do what they're trying to do. The only way that they will be able to do it is if this legislature does nothing. And I urge this legislature to please stand up and fight for these kids and for their future. Because it's not about us anymore. And as Ann Rhodes said, it's not about our economy anymore. It just isn't. This is one of two remaining coal plants in the state. We just simply cannot let this become one of the most inefficient and dangerous power plants in the state going forward. And we've got to do everything we can to raise our voice to the state. And Jonathan, for you to figure out ways to prohibit these damn bomb trucks, but these darn bomb trucks on our roads. But we've got to stop this.
Brian Eden and then Judy Pierpont.
So I'm Brian Eden, the village of Cayuga Heights. I'm only representing myself tonight. So we're a relatively enlightened community. We don't hear much about climate change as a hoax. The things we might argue about are the pace of climate change and what the possible alternatives to fixing it are, mitigating the damage. So our whole community has been embarked on 10 years of efforts to reduce the community's carbon footprint. Local organizations like Cooperative Extensions, Get Your Greenbacks, and Solar Time Can Seed Smart. County, town, and city planners have been working on greenhouse gas inventories. We produced an energy roadmap. There's 2020 and 2030 energy strategies. There's the Energy Task Force. Legislature has supported non-pipe solutions. All of these efforts at carbon emissions reduction may be nullified by the continued operation of a fossil fuel power plant. So that's very discouraging to the hundreds of people that are working on reducing our community's carbon footprint. Some folks are inextricably bound to the local taxes provided by this plant. It's like an addiction. It's satisfying in the short term, but it may eventually kill you. And I really say that with emphasis. It's time for the county legislature to state unequivocally that it does not support a conversion to gas. Basically, a statement of no confidence that you will not facilitate this. You have limited abilities to do things legally, but you should make it clear both to the state and others that you will not support this continuing forward. It's inconsistent with all of our work, our greenhouse emissions reduction goals. Let's not frustrate those who are working for a low-carbon future. Before the power plant declares bankruptcy, let's get the pollution cleaned up at this valuable lakefront property while there is a viable owner. I say this in reference to the valuable Morris Emerson site that has awaited a comprehensive cleanup for 30 years. I don't want to see 30 years after this plant closes that we're still talking about the pollution at the site. Riesling Power, which is the current operator, much like AES Eastern Energy LLC, declared bankruptcy in 2011. It's ultimately a shell holding company owned by Blackstone, a $20 billion corporation that focuses on leverage buyouts of distressed assets. We need to, once Riesling declares bankruptcy, and as far as I know, there are only two assets, there are Somerset and Cayuga. And so once those plants close, they'll be bankrupt, but you won't be able to go beyond them to recover funds to do cleanup. While we're advocating for transparency, how about an accounting from the Cayuga for the potential $190 million in reliability support service agreement payments that they received from 2012 to 2017? The ratepayers paid for many of the capital improvements that should have been paid for by the owners. The plant's best years are long behind it. Let's retire this plant and move on to a much more sustainable future. Thank you.
Judy Pierpont, and then former county legislator Dooley Kiefer.
I'm Judy Pierpont. I live in Dryden. I was recalling as Irene was speaking that Fossil Free Tompkins, before it was Fossil Free Tompkins, called itself the Power Plant Discussion Group. That's the email moniker. And I'm just astonished we're still discussing this. It's 5 years later. I'd like to add my voice to the opposition to repowering the Cayuga Operating Company with gas trucked through our community. Such repowering doesn't fit with the history of this county, which has passed an energy roadmap. This body passed it. And greenhouse gas emission reduction standards, goals. which we are committed to working towards. And we opposed fracking from the beginning. Most of the people in this room were in their communities out trying to get their municipalities to ban fracking, and we succeeded. It was a big fight. And are we going to turn around and allow it to come back now? We should, and I'd like you to proactively oppose the repowering of this plant and push the Cayuga Operating Company to use the site to put in renewable electricity generation. They have suggested this. Let's push them to it. Thank you.
After Dooley is Amanda Kirchgesner. Welcome, Dooley. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming.
Good afternoon. I'm happy to be back in my first visit since I got off of this legislature for this very important topic. Anthropogenic climate disruption is palpable. We can't pretend that things are okay as long as fossil fuels are being burned. I was not surprised, but I was mildly horrified to understand that there may be afoot a repowering of this old plant, Millikan Station, to use natural gas. All the previous speakers have given you more than enough ammunition in case you didn't know any of those details. But I have to count on you, legislators, my former colleagues, to not let this happen. It doesn't matter that you don't have a direct action that could approve it or disapprove it. What matters is that you will stand up for us and for our climate and for the future. Thanks.
Amanda Kirchgesner, then Gina Kett. I'm going to apologize. Cassiapo? Okay, sorry.
Good evening. My name is Amanda Kirchgesner. I live in Ulysses, and I'm proud to call myself a lifelong resident of Tompkins County. I grew up here. I've gone to the schools here. And being born in 84 and coming up, I went to the Catholic school, but I grew up next door to a bunch of kids who went to Ithaca City school districts. We learned all about climate change and global warming. These things have been real my entire life. I know none of you were sitting at this table 34 years ago, but you're sitting here now. And unfortunately, we didn't do these things 34 years ago, but we need to do them now. We need to switch to renewable energy economy. It's the only way. We need to clean up the ecological devastation that our use of fossil fuels has perpetrated upon future generations. But that to me sounds like work. People want good jobs. That sounds like good jobs to me. The fact of the matter is we've given this power plant more than enough. We've given them taxpayer dollars. Great. We continue to socialize the costs and privatize the profits. And that is happening time and time again. Now is where we stop. We have to stop. We all know where this goes. Guess what? We die. But we don't have to make it a life sentence for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and their children. We need to be the change. It is the time. We cannot do this any longer. You need to draw a line in the sand, and it might be here in Tompkins County, but the more I meet people from around this state, the more they admire what we're doing here. I know it's not perfect, but they say, why can't we have those green energy opportunities they have in Tompkins County? And I know it's because we work for it, and we're not afraid to work for it. And I know 35 people might lose their jobs, but it sounds like their parent corporation has billions of dollars. I think they'll land on their feet, and we can do what we can to help them. We need to think about more than 35 people. We could set a precedence here. that would have repercussions across the state and across the country. We can be the change. Thank you.
Gina Cassiopo, then Lisa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Gina Cassiopo. I'm part of Mothers Out Front. I moved here about 5 or 6 years ago, right when we got a big fracking win when we had the moratorium passed. And I sat inside and I felt safe. And I got a knock on my door from a group, Mothers Out Front, informing me about a compressed gas station that I live within miles of. And to hear about this, I'm here as a mother, as a teacher, to represent other families. It's heartbreaking to stand here. You already know that fracked gas adds to climate change. You already know that these trucks that are going to go down our roads that have enough trouble with the weather conditions that we have are potential disasters for our children and our families. And I don't know how we could even contemplate allowing something like that to happen. I'm here asking you to protect our air, to protect our water, and to make this a place that we could be proud of, to lead us to greener and cleaner future. But most of all, I'm asking you to protect my baby in a way that I cannot. And I wish I could, and I'm sure all of you do. And no matter what side you are on, people are kind to babies. But, you know, you turn around and pass things like this that are killing and poisoning our future. These children are our future, and we really need to do what we can to protect and make this a place worth being in. And that's really what I'm here to beg of you. Thank you.
Lisa Marshall, and then Karen Edelstein, and that's the last form I have. If anybody else would like to speak, the forms are in the back of the room. You still can sign up. Lisa.
Thanks, Gina, making me cry before I have to speak. I'm Lisa Marshall. I am a stranger to this county. I live in Chemung County. I know none of you have ever been there, but it's quite nearby. I used to work in Tompkins County, and I organize here for Mothers Out Front. I used to teach in the county as well. There's been some talk of children, and I'm actually going to, well, first I'm going to say that a couple months ago when the big school shooting happened in Florida, my friend Alex, who's an organizer with Food and Water Watch, tweeted that he was 16 years old when Columbine happened, and he thought that the grown-ups would do something. And that got me thinking that I was 16 when I wrote my first paper on climate change, and I just turned 50. And now we are the grown-ups, and it's time for us to do something. When I first started organizing here in Tompkins County, with many of the people here, we were trying to stop the expansion of gas through the Dominion Pipeline, which cuts this county in half. And we were trying to stop the expansion of a large compressor station, which is just a big machine that compresses the gas and pushes it through the pipeline. We were told by members of this county legislature that we were stirring up trouble needlessly, and that we were just scaring people, and why were we doing that? Well, we stood our ground and said, we are not trying to stir up trouble. We are trying to stop something that is going to lead to more and more gas expansion in New York State, and we need to stop that because we're committing mass suicide, basically, with this expansion of gas. I have 3 beautiful children. My oldest daughter, Grace, spent a semester in Ecuador. She came home from Ecuador, and she said, Mom, I have to tell you something. I'm not going to have children. The reason I can't have children is because I've been to Ecuador, where they rely on the glaciers, the water from the glaciers, to grow their food. And the glaciers are almost gone, and they're not coming back. So For those of you who leave Tompkins County once in a while, you might know that the other places where I organize, we don't have as many friends in the county legislature as we have here, and we don't have people that are willing to stop it. The only thing that will stop the juggernaut of the fossil fuel industry is the political will of decision makers like yourselves to take a stand. And I know that you have limits to what you can do, but I'm urging you to do as much as possible. I had one more point to make, which I wish I could remember. This is what happens when you turn 50, is you can't remember all your points. So I will just say that thank you very, very much for having an open space, letting a usurper from another county like Chemung come and visit, and thank you for listening to us.
Lisa, many of us have been to Chemung County, and but it's good you added yourself. So, thank you for coming. Karen Edelstein is the last sheet that we have.
Oh, hi, everybody. I'm Karen Edelstein. I'm an environmental scientist and a cartographer. I also am a homeowner who has lived and owned my own home in Lansing since 1991. So this is not only a professionally important issue to me, it's a very personal one because the Cayuga Power Plant is just a few miles over the hill from my house. It took a while for me to get up to speed on exactly how polluting that plant was. For years and years, I would receive my NYSEG bill and see how far off the end of the bell curve that plant was in its pollution, but I really didn't get it until we started talking about the possibility of repowering with natural gas. There really is no one lesser evil of how to get gas to that plant. It would be a horrible thing to run a pipeline at the expense of the homeowners in Dryden and anywhere along the way. The idea that's been floated around of bringing that gas in, if it were possible, on trains is just a disaster in the making. And what we're looking at now is the possibility of these bomb trucks coming in, passing our homes, passing our schools, going over bridges that are sometimes open and sometimes not because of the repairs that are going on in this county. There is no good scenario for gas in that plant. Impacts to the environment through the air quality, the water quality, just our very way of life. As we look around and listen to what's going on the federal level in the government, and how this administration has responded to the issue of climate change in a purely isolationist way, I think we're all horrified, and I'm really glad that New York State is taking a stance and the communities are taking a stance. As a resident of Lansing, I really hope that Lansing also doesn't take an isolationist stance and think only of those 37 jobs that could be lost, but rather be responsible to our county, to our state, and to our entire world. Thank you.
So that's another person? Okay.
Hi. My name's Roxanne Gupta. I'm a little hoarse because I was screaming at Vice President Pence in Auburn just a couple hours ago. I'm from Seneca County, and I'm here to tell you about Seneca County. We're just to the north of you, but I'm here to ask you people here to live up to your reputation. Because in my county, you all have a reputation. I don't know if you know it, but in some of the towns up here, just 20 minutes up the road, when they run certain candidates, they scare the people in the rural area, using Ithaca as an example. They say Ithaca-style politics is trying to invade our county. What is Ithaca-style politics? It's democracy. This is what democracy looks like. Open-minded legislators listening to the citizens and open-minded and educated legislators willing to take a stand on issues that affect our collective future, because the county line does not know any barrier. There's no boundary here. So what I'm just very simply asking you, have the guts to live up to your reputation and set an example for the rest of this state, including your neighbors to the north. Thank you very much.
Okay, can you pass your blue form up? Excuse me, could you pass up your, okay, great. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? All right. Thank you very much. As I said earlier, we're going to change the order of business a little bit. We're going to move now to a resolution from the Planning Committee, and TCAD is going to be doing a presentation. If you're not here, if you're not going to stay for that, we'll wait a minute. The screens have to using PowerPoint, right? The screens are going to come down so that we can have the movement over when the TCD is ready.
Should we be acting on it tonight?
Yeah, I think you should, because I think this covers everything. So right here, all meetings of the legislature and all committees standing ad hoc.
Okay, folks.
We're all on airplanes.
All right, we're going to begin. And I am delighted to welcome folks from Tompkins County Area Development, TCAD. So let's do a presentation first before we pick up the resolution. There's a revised version in your red folders. So that is what came out of committee last Thursday. So welcome, Margaret Frank, Michael Stamm, Martha Armstrong, and Heather McDaniel, in that order. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome. And as I think some of you know, we have been at PDEC for several meetings, one kind of a quick meeting, and then a second meeting where I think we were there for, was it 2.5 hours or one and a half?
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. So quite a lengthy meeting where we presented a pretty lengthy slide deck with a deep dive into what we do, why we do it, with some data. And I've been told that we need to truncate that slide deck significantly. So we have done that, and that's the only slide. well.
All right. Moving on.
Not quite. So moving through these slides, and I'll cover a few, and then Heather will cover a few, and Martha will cover a few. This is TCAD's mission and vision, and we have spent quite a bit of time over the years refining this, and we're very proud of it. From an economic development organization point of view, it's, I think, pretty enlightening. and really talks about what TCAD does in general terms and why we do it. But certainly the vision of a flourishing economy with exciting, innovative firms that inspire and attract a talented workforce. Our goals, like most economic development agencies, are to create quality jobs and strengthen the tax base. And we make a distinction between economic development and community development, with economic development really focused on quality jobs and the tax base, and community development focused on the tax base and vibrant communities. And you'll see that all the cranes downtown are a result of our collaboration with the City of Ithaca and our work managing the Industrial Development Agency. We have a similar policy to what we've done in the city out in Lansing, and that has been stymied by a lack of infrastructure. But we have, over the years, talked to all the towns and villages about ways that we can work with them to achieve their economic development goals. And we have a variety of ways that we achieve our goals. Business development, we of course work with our customers, delivering them a variety of financial, technical, site location services of our five staff members to our certified planners. So we're unusual as an economic development agency in that we have a very, very strong strategic planning and study capability, and Martha will talk about that a little bit later. And then economic development leadership. All our staff are involved on local not-for-profit boards, and several of us are involved in, on a regional and state and even a federal basis. I sit on the regional council and, more importantly, on its executive committee. And the executive committee on the regional council is the one with the greatest decision-making authority. And on Thursday, I'm hoping it will vote to award the City of Ithaca a downtown revitalization initiative. But over the years, the regional council has delivered millions and millions of dollars to local projects, both to municipal governments, to not-for-profit agencies, to the educational sector, as well as to the private sector. So we spend a lot of time on these agencies, on committees, on boards, trying to do what's best for our community here in Tompkins County as well as the region. And this is something we talk about often, and I think this slide and its bullets really separate us from other economic development agencies. We spend very little time trying to attract businesses to our community. Our philosophy is to keep what we have and grow our own. That's not relative to hemp, but that's relative to the great entrepreneurial environment we have here. So we think good jobs will come from existing businesses or from entrepreneurs that already exist in our community, and if we can support them, they'll create good jobs. We also believe in utilizing scarce resources wisely, so our IDA policies, for example, deliver incentives very carefully. We have short-term pilot agreements that are very wisely invested. And we work with companies and entrepreneurs that have sound strategic reasons for being here. If we start working with them and the first thing they talk about are incentives, that's a big red flag for us. So we talked to them about why are they here, and usually it's for technology, and that's a good sign. The golden jobs for us are those jobs that provide opportunities for people trapped in poverty, perhaps that are working two or three jobs to make a living for themselves and their and provide for a family. And these jobs can come from advanced manufacturing, clean, bright, comfortable, high-tech environments. And there's tremendous opportunities here because of the technology we have. We've been pretty successful at this, and we think we can be more successful in the future. And finally, everything we do has quality of life in mind. that includes environmental quality, arts and culture. So we know the reason why many entrepreneurs want to stay here, or CEOs of local companies want to stay here, is our unique quality of life. So everything we do keeps that in mind. And I'll turn it over, I think, to Heather.
Thank you. You went over by 30 seconds, so I think I have a little bit less time than you do. Thanks, Michael. Okay. We're told to keep it very brief tonight.
It's fine. It's good.
So one of the things that we do is our mission really is around helping businesses to start here, stay here, and grow here. And we have a number of local tools to do that. But before we start using our tools in our toolbox, what we do is what we call business retention and expansion. We go out and visit. They're called BR&E visits. We meet with businesses on a pretty regular basis to get a pulse on what's going on in their industry, what's going on in the community that's affecting their business, and see where there are initiatives or direct services that we can provide to help them stay here and grow here. You can't help everybody, but a lot of times we start hearing the same things, and that really informs the kinds of services that we provide. One of the big services that we are actively engaged in is managing the Tompkins County Industrial Development Agency. I do think that it is one of the most powerful local tools to help companies grow here. We have in the past 5 years approved 26 projects that have added $110 million in new tax base. They've invested over $400 million in our community at the IDA. But my slide up here has a picture of Transonic Systems. I want to give you an example of a BR&E process that goes right and a company that grows in our community. Several years ago, we went out and met with Transonic at a BR&E visit, and we learned from Transonic that this is their world headquarters. They have operations all over the globe, and they wanted to expand their manufacturing operations here at their headquarters. It only made sense to keep their headquarters here if they could grow here. But they needed access to a sewer line, which they'd been promised by the town of Lansing for over a decade. And with the politics out in Lansing, they weren't able to get their sewer line. They were seriously considering relocating outside of the United States, their world headquarters. They were established here in 1985. So what did we do at TCAD? We very quickly assembled a group of stakeholders that included the town of Lansing, the town's engineer, some local stakeholders that had been involved in the town's previous sewer project. We met for the better part of 3 years, and we got Transonic a sewer line. And we also called in a favor with our regional economic development office, and we were able to get almost $2 or $3 million to help lower the cost of that sewer line. Today, the world headquarters of Transonic Systems is still in the town of Lansing, and they're growing. They have 90 employees. Their average non-management wage is $24.80 per hour. They did a $7 million expansion back in 2007. We didn't have to deliver a property tax incentive because we also managed the Empire Zones program, which provided a state income tax incentive that was equal to what we – actually, it was more than what we could have delivered in a property tax incentive. So we didn't have to use our scarce local resources. But that's how you help a company stay and be competitive – and grow here in Tompkins County.
If I could just say, it's been called Heather's Sewer. So.
And I'm not proud of that, Martha.
And she did get the first flush.
Did not. So the IDA is a great tool when you have a big expansion and a big project. But another great tool that we have is our revolving loan fund. In the past, let's see, where are my loan fund metrics?
Just make them up.
Yeah, no problem. I'll just make them, no. I don't think I have metrics on my loan fund, sorry about that. The Loan Fund is really a great tool for smaller companies, companies that are struggling, that can't get a bank loan, or early in their development stage. Here I worked with Finger Lakes Reuse when they were first open in 2008, and I met with Diane Cohen. Everyone in the room must know Diane. She's fabulous. So I met with Diane, and Diane was struggling, and she said, I have this great training program I want to do and this electronics program, and I want to do this demolition, and I want to give back to the arts community, and I have all these great ideas, and I'm trying to do all these things. And I said, Diane, take a deep breath. We provided Diane with some technical assistance, looked at her revenue model, and helped her to figure out how she could generate more sales, which meant more money for Finger Lakes Reuse that they then could use to fund all these other great programs that she wanted to do. They're a not-for-profit organization. More than 50% of their revenues come from direct sales of their items that they sell reused items that they divert from the waste stream, so it's helping our environment. And she's looked at all over the country as a model for reuse in what she does here in Tompkins County with her team. We helped her with the technical assistance, but 3 years later, she was ready to buy a building and expand her operations in the city of Ithaca. $2.2 million project. We provided a small working capital loan through our loan fund, a $50,000 loan that was part of a number of other financing mechanisms that helped her to grow into a 17,000 square foot building in the city. And now they've got another project on the horizon that's going to be providing affordable housing and increasing their footprint. So that's economic development, and that's how we grow in our community.
So I'm going to just speak briefly about our strategic planning and policy analysis type of work that we do. You can see there are some examples. We create the economic development strategic plans for Tompkins County, and that's now coordinated with the comprehensive plan cycle. We work with the Workforce Development Board. We've done some special research on things like the water and sewer infrastructure countywide, which we'll be renewing probably in the next year or so, get an update going on that. And we've worked on the Energy and Economic Development Task Force, where we thought economics and energy issues were actually both important to try to move us forward and attain both of the sets of county goals, which is to meet our greenhouse gas emission reduction goals and also meet our jobs and economic vitality goals in some way together. And that was a pretty productive work session. So I did wanted to talk a little bit specifically about our workforce development work. And briefly, TCAD has worked pretty much always on workforce development along with economic development, because when you go to talk to a business, workforce is usually a really large issue, and it's particularly the number one issue right now for businesses. Some of you might have noticed nationally, this weekend in the Ithaca Journal, they were talking about there being 5,000 jobs going empty in the southern tier right now. And this is a national crisis, that we are not having enough workforce ready to get into positions, into good positions, so into jobs like Transonic Systems. We have manufacturers here with empty spots. So it's really a high important issue, and it has been all along. We've worked on helping to establish the Workforce Investment Board when it was set up in 1999. It was set up in our office before it went out and became an independent organization. We partnered with them to create a workforce strategy for the county, developed a machinist training program, and are working now with a group of advanced manufacturers again to try to create a good training program for their workers. And we do joint visits to businesses. Heather talked about our BR&E, business retention and expansion visits. We often will do that with a Workforce Development Board representative with us, because workforce is a major challenge. So I thought I would give one example of a current project, which is the TST BOCES new PTEC Academy. And PTEC stands for Pathways in Technology, Early College, High School. This is a program that New York State Department of Ed has been funding, the startup of these schools around the state. We're in the sort of, there's about 35 of them now. This one was just funded last fall. It's a six-year program. They get an AAS degree from TC3 when they're done, so it's essentially a scholarship for 2 years of college. It's targeted to families who are disadvantaged and who haven't had kids go to college before, so that those young people will have an opportunity that maybe their parents didn't have. And it's a very non-traditional environment where businesses are right now contributing to developing the curriculum, and they will also be helping to mentor the young people in this program this fall and be providing real-life examples from their workplaces for the kids to work on in a team solution kind of atmosphere within a classroom that doesn't have little seats in rows. They'll be working together and hands-on solving problems. Graduates will be first in line to interview for jobs at the participating employers. And my role when we applied for this program was to work with TC3 and the Workforce Development Board to figure out which are the career areas we want to select for this school. They're STEM-type careers, math, science, technology. And we picked computer science and advanced manufacturing for the school, so that's the two career tracks the young people will be able to be involved in. And right now, along with the Chamber of Commerce and the Workforce Investment Board, TCAD has been helping to recruit businesses to be involved. We're pretty excited. They are currently getting students. It looks like they'll have between 20 and 25 students in their ninth grade class when it opens next fall. We're really excited about this project. So can you hit the next slide? Yeah. I was wrong. I had one more thing to say. Sorry, looking ahead. I'll try not to go too long here.
And we spent 3 days.
I know. I just want to say, looking ahead, we're really invested in workforce development. It's a huge issue for us, and we plan to continue focusing on it through the variety of ways we can work on workforce. So, sorry, it was time to do the slide. There we go.
So we thank you for your attention, and if anyone wants to see the other 47 slides that we presented to PDEC, I know the PDEC members don't, but we can always do that. And I'll just close by saying we've had a great long-standing relationship with the county legislature. When I got here in 85, Harris Dates was the chair of the legislature, and I've burned through quite a few chairs of the legislature. And when we describe ourselves, and I think rightfully so, as enlightened economic development, I think a lot of that credit goes to the county legislature for continuing to force us to push our boundaries a bit, think about different things that we ought to be doing, different ways. And even though I'm riding off into the sunset pretty soon, TCAD is committed to that continued relationship with the county legislature, and it's a true partnership with you folks, and we look forward to a good future and working on the challenges we both face. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael. I want to do a couple things, but I wanted to have Jason go through the MOU itself before I go to Anne and the resolution. But first, I have to say, a few of us went on Friday evening to the retirement party for Michael, and we didn't get it together to do a proclamation or anything like that, Michael, but we should have. But let me just say, because I'm betting we won't be able to get you back here.
You're right.
I know. So you've been coming here for all these years, and personally I've learned so much from you, and you have really created a wonderful staff, board, community, and there's just so much about our community that goes on behind the scenes that is really important and thoughtful and creative and reflects the values of the community in a comprehensive way. And people don't even realize that what your role has been in that all these years. And I want to thank you publicly and say that it's not an accident. It's not an accident that we have the best economy in upstate New York. It's not an accident that we have so many people living, wanting to move here or live here that we can't afford the they can't afford the housing. It's because of the kind of partnerships, the kind of work that you've done in front of the scenes, but mostly behind the scenes. Probably is, sort of an unsung hero kind of thing, where things that really other people get credit for, other people, reap the benefits of. And over and over again, you look behind the curtain, and you've been personally a very important part of those things that have happened to make this community what it is. So I really want to thank you on behalf of the entire community. We really owe you a debt of gratitude and wish you all the luck and fun in the world of being a grandpa in Pennsylvania part-time and the rest of the time on Stam Island in northern Canada. So thank you so much, Michael, for everything.
Thank you for those kind words.
So what we have in front of us is a resolution to accept the MOU, and I would like to ask Jason to to go through it a little bit, but in particular to highlight the changes that were part of the PDEC conversation.
Would you like me to cover the whole MOU or just the changes?
I'll give it brief overview on the MOU, but especially with the changes.
So the MOU is a five-year memorandum of agreement of understanding with TCAD providing county participation of funding, which roughly mimics the last agreement, its predecessor, providing TCAD with approximately one-third of their budget. Would note in here, as part of the discussion has been, that this is an annual appropriation that you have to make annually. It's not guaranteed once you enter into the MOU, so to that extent, you could change that on an annual basis if you so choose. There are several changes over its predecessor, one being what I would call a circuit breaker. And this was the intent of the task force, but didn't work itself into the language of the last MOU. This circuit breaker, which I'll be upfront, I took no credit of creating because it was created by my predecessor in the last review and that task force that put it together. And it's a good catch, basically protecting both the hotel tax or bed tax revenues, that if there is a decrease of 10% for two consecutive quarters over the prior year, that the county would cease using bed tax to supplement its contribution to TCAD. At the same point in time, if the IDA or LDC reserves fall below 1 year's budget's contribution, which is one-third of the TCAD budget, it would trigger a conversation with the legislature and TCAD to try to address that, both short-term and long-term. So it protects both entities, which are essentially two-thirds of the budget, one of it coming from the county, one of it coming from TCAD, and as well as putting a protection in there should hotel tax or bed tax decrease for two consecutive quarters. That's kind of a safeguard. This also was reinforced with my conversations with stakeholders, whether it's through the tourism board folks, the chamber folks, also TCAD, and this was kind of reinforced as a catch-all and a protection from either of those revenue sources decreasing. One of the changes that happened subsequently in the last PDEC meeting was bullet number four, which basically provides an option or provides the opportunity for PDEC as well as the county administrator to comment on TCAD's draft work plan for the upcoming year prior to TCAD's board adopting it. It provides the venue for PDEC, which is the committee that hears and TCAD reports to provide, to hear the draft work plan, provide feedback and input, and then they can go and return, bring it to the TCAD board for adoption. It's, I think, another initiative for good insight, collaboration, and making sure that we're all on the same page as to what is the next year's objectives and goals. Another element of this is, which is similar to the last MOU, is that if the IDA LDC reserves from agency fees accrues to an amount of $600,000 or more, it'll trigger the conversation between PDEC and TCAD as to what are the intentions of those agency fees and those reserves, and at least brings the discussion to the forefront to say, at that point, for the PDEC as well as the legislature to ask questions about, do you have intended uses of those reserves, and if so, what are they, and it at the very least triggers the conversation to take place. That, again, is very similar to the prior year. Another addition is that TCAD agrees to allow the county legislature to appoint one of its TCAD board members to the executive committee. Considering you're one of the single largest contributors to the budget, we thought that was fair and reasonable so that person can have at least discussion and be at the table on the executive committee. Two additions that came at the last PDEC meeting was that there's recognition and both Michael Heather and Martha talked about the addition and continued focus on workforce development and I would say increased investment above and beyond their current participation and focus on workforce development, but they're talking about increasing staffing efforts and creating additional position to work on workforce development because it's so critical in matching our workforce with opportunities. Bullet 13 was added to ensure that there is continued and there is great communication between workforce investment board and TCAD. Now they're housed in the same location. They participate and communicate regularly. This is just a restatement of that participation. That they'll continue to strategize together and making sure that they're maximizing the resources that we have towards workforce development, both from TCAD's position as well as our own position that Julia Matic manages in the direction she works with the Workforce Development Board. The last piece, which I think is a great addition to it, it basically says that July 1st of 2022, so to give this context, this agreement is for 5 years, starting January 1st, 2019, carrying through to December 31st, 2023. The last suggestion, and I think is a good one, is that on July 1st, or no later than July 1st, 2022, which is 18 months out, a task force will be reconvened as a subcommittee from PDEC, similar to what was created 5 years ago, to review the funding strategy, review the relationship, and ensure at that point it would be almost 10 years if it's still consistent with the intentions, and if there are changes, what should they be, or if it should continue, how should it continue? That's pretty much the summary of the MOU. Good additions that came from it after the initial draft, following conversations with stakeholders and legislators, and so I think it was a good all-around several additions that came from the last PDEC meeting.
All right. Thank you, Jason. And I would just ask for one other – we'll just ask you to lay out one other piece, which is kind of the basis for your recommendation on the funding split, because that's obviously an issue.
Yep. So as reviewing this, and I mentioned I spoke with a lot of the different stakeholders, the folks from tourism, chamber, our own legislators, TCAD, and what happened in the first five-year agreement was – a level of funding and support using and sharing bed tax revenue along with an increased county contribution to provide a sustainable funding source to support economic development initiatives and efforts moving forward. That was not a steady contribution. Excuse me. Certain years it was higher than others as that began to ramp up. The current level was about $205,000 this year out of roughly the $245,000 that we contribute to TCAD. Moving forward, I was looking for more of a stable representation of how are we going to have a consistent level of investment, looking and balancing the challenges that came with the bed tax and looking at the challenges of balancing the tax levy contribution. Through some of the discussions, I learned a lot about, probably more than most, about how bed tax is generated and how it's created and the cycle of hotels and the good and the bad that comes with that. And what I developed from that perspective was that, go back. What I understood from that was that there was concern, genuine concern about what happens if bed tax were to decrease from year to year to year. and the importance of having a reliable or understandable number of what can they expect or what can they not expect when it comes to their budget, because there's a large bed tax revenue that then the legislature allows the tourism board to distribute based on programming. And inconsistency, just as inconsistency with the TCAD agreement, does not allow them to budget properly in future years. So balancing all of those, I looked at the prior or the current agreement, and there was mention in it on several occasions that the aggregate amount of contribution to TCAD was split 55-45%. 55% over the aggregate was tourism funds, 45% was county tax levy funds. Taking that, while maybe it was arbitrary at the time, it was the only history that I had, rather than me picking an arbitrary number for a reason that I couldn't create, I took that and embraced it moving forward, and said moving forward over the next five-year period, we would split the county's contribution being 55% hotel tax, bed tax revenue, 45% tax levy, and that would start in year one, 2019. And what it did, the initial year, based on the estimated 2019 growth numbers for bed tax, it had a large, what I would call new money for tourism. So it was about $225,000 of an increase to tourism of new funds, while it increased the county's contribution by about $70,000 to make that match. So it was what I assumed to be a manageable increase on the tax levy side of about $70,000. It decreased the amount that we were using from bed tax to hence increase the amount for tourism, and then carried that through the course of the five-year agreement, which created stability. And I sent an email out to the legislature this morning because I had several questions as to were there budgetary concerns or considerations that I gave when coming up with that. So there were two things I looked at in this situation. Generally speaking, when there's what I would call a stable revenue source other than property tax, in this case, I would consider hotel tax a stable revenue source because while it may go up and down from year to year, it has consistently grown. So it has grown more than other years, but it has not usually gone backwards. I think it's only gone, in the negative one year at a time. So it's consistently had growth over a 15-year period. When considering that, I generally would gravitate towards using an other than property tax levy revenue source to support an initiative. And the primary reason for that is you have mandated services that you have to provide. Generally speaking, if some of it is reimbursable through federal estate act, federal estate venues, that generally doesn't keep up with your mandated requirements or the cost to provide those mandated services. And inevitably, it usually falls back onto the tax levy. While this is a good, I would call, fair and stable economic time, I'm always the optimal pessimist that it will eventually turn at some point in time, which means you will have a greater burden on the tax levy. Avoiding putting that burden on now provides the opportunity or capacity at a later point in time when you have to support mandated services. So shifting that to a non-levy revenue source was part of the reason why I came up with that, part of the reason that I felt it was supporting the 55-45 split. That's the background as to how I came to that conclusion. Been a lot of debate back and forth as to whether or not people like that or not, but there was just that was the fiscal element behind it, and some of the justification I looked at from a budget perspective.
Okay. Thanks very much, Jason. So would it be preferable to folks to just sort of ask questions, or should we get the motion on the floor?
Let's get it on the floor.
Okay, go ahead, Anna.
So I am putting on the floor the amended version of the resolution that came out of the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. This is the resolution to authorize the county administrator to execute a memorandum of understanding with Tompkins County Area Development, Inc. for economic development services, and that is ID number 7861. I move that.
Second by Deborah.
I just wanted to introduce, just to say two things. One, for anyone who was not at the PDEC meeting, one of the, obviously a big point of the conversation was workforce development, and to help us understand the
the progress on workforce development. We discussed with TCAD having quarterly reports outlining what developments are happening in workforce, what sectors, and that was something, you know, that I think would help us keep that close relationship that you were talking about. That's what everybody cares about, and, you know, that's a big chunk of the work that they're doing, particularly with the potential new person coming on board who's prioritizing workforce development. And the other thing I just wanted to say is thank you for the presentation, the tremendously in-depth presentation. I know we held you hostage for a very long time, and you had to go straight into the next meeting. But one of the things I think that we've all experienced in our lives is working really hard on a project and having people say, that's really easy. And we understand how much work went into it, but when you only see the final product, it's really hard to understand the work that goes into it. So when you talk about all of the time put into developing relationships with businesses, all the time put into setting up meetings over and over and over again, it put things in perspective, I think, for a lot of us, and then to see the specific stories, because I know for a lot of us, we see primarily the IDA. So it gave a broader view of everything that you do. So thank you.
Okay, if I can just take a quick second and make two requests as for friendly changes. The last whereas, the second last line, memorandum of understanding continuing the use of room occupancy tax revenues of should be added. I mean, that's a manifest thing. I wouldn't raise it here, but I'd like to add the word partial as a partial source of funds available to the county. If that's okay to the mover and seconder?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. Thanks very much. All right. Discussion. Rich.
Thank you for the presentation. I support the resolution in general. I would like to speak to the first resolve that's been added to set a program for where the revenue is coming from. For the reasons stated by our county administrator, and also looking at it from the standpoint of this is a specialized fund that looks a lot like a benefit district, that the hotels are asked to pay a tax that other businesses and individuals in the county do not, and the benefit should come back to them in proportion to the payment. And certainly a lot of that comes from tourism, and funding the arts is a great way of funding tourism, and we're doing that. But you also see people in those hotels because of the work of TCAD and the economic development that comes from that. So it seems perfectly appropriate to me that the allocation of room tax revenue to TCAD funding from the county is sensible. And as I said, all the reasons why we shouldn't encumber our property tax for this type of discretionary spending. I would much rather see us aligning that kind of spending with the mandated costs that the county carries. So I would move to strike the first resolved in bold on the proposed resolution.
All right, that's a motion to amend. Is there a second? Seconded by Dave. Discussion of the amendment. Mike, then Amanda. Deborah.
I'll defer to Amanda first.
All right. Well, you probably know that this was something that Deborah and I worked on, along with Anne and some other folks, I think Anna. So with this funding model, we are challenging the status quo, which may be uncomfortable for some people, and we're suggesting a compromise in the way that things have been done. I don't believe our hotel tax money is free or found money. It's money that comes from somewhere other than our county, with the sole purpose of being turned back into more attractive things to bring more of that money into our county. With the 2012 task force, a group of people decided that because TCAD was in crisis, the county needed to support them more than they had previously. They also decided, and what I understand was a contentious decision, that they could redefine what tourism was and use some of that free money to subsidize economic development. Over time, it has become a given that we should use hotel tax money to support TCAD. The two have been tied together, I believe, erroneously. And this is the main point for me. If the county wants to support TCAD,
then let's vote to do that. But we should take on that burden like we do with Cooperative Extension or Tompkins Community Action or any number of other nonprofit organizations that we believe are valuable for our community. Then yes, that means that we would have to negotiate all of those other priorities that we each have. We'd have to weigh the value of TCAD against all the other departments that we want to fund. As it stands now, TCAD has been largely removed from this equation because of their guaranteed subsidy. And my question is, if TCAD is eligible for tourism money, what else is? It may be a slippery slope to discuss this, but I think that the 2012 discussion already opened that can of worms when they redefined what tourism is. So yesterday I was at the Water Resources Council, and we heard a report about harmful algal blooms, also known as HABs, on Cayuga Lake. You may all remember last year there was some serious issues with that. When these blooms occur, the water is toxic, and swimming and boating can make people sick. Water and nature recreation are a large part of Tompkins County tourism, and HABs are a huge deterrent for tourists. The HABs problem is bordering on a crisis. So perhaps we should give tourism money to the environmental health workers at the health department or the local labs who are studying the issue. The airport, which TCAD has helped develop, brings tourists. It's one of their arguments showing their support of tourism, but so does the highway department. They make sure our roads are safe and plowed for all those tourists, too. People don't only come here by the airport. Maybe the highway department should get room tax money. If the legislature wants to bend the rules of what tourism is, as they did in 2012, then we should really discuss what else should be subsidized by tourism money. Or, better yet, let's not do that. Let's not redefine tourism. As I'm proposing here, we reduce the amount of hotel tax money given to TCAD, not to zero, to 25%. Eventually, in about 4 years. They will still get some of that hotel tax money, but they will get less over time. And this is, I believe, a thoughtful, reasonable compromise, which I have been reminded is what we do. We compromise. So I ask my colleagues who are on the fence that you reject this proposed amendment and that we begin to correct this imbalance. Thank you.
So, Mike, do you want to go back to you, or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason, your recommendation here, I wouldn't expect any county administrator not to make that recommendation to try to keep taxes down. And it's not easy to make suggestions that may increase the tax levy. But, you know, I've been on the legislature or the Tompkins County Board of Representatives, not going back to when the first room tax was enacted, but when it was revised, and I was there for that. And it was quite a process. It required state legislation to be put through to make the change to add the arts so that we could be using it for that kind of variety of things. It meant bringing in the hoteliers and the people from the beds and breakfasts and other things that we ended up not charging them the same amount at the beds and breakfasts. But it was about tourism. And back then, the definition of tourism, it's been expanded, no doubt, but back then it was if it didn't put somebody in a hotel room for a night's stay, it wasn't attracting tourism. They didn't think it did. I didn't agree with that. But this fund should be used for what it's intended to be. Every county that has a room tax has its own local law. And if you pull out the volume of the I forgot which one, general municipal law or whatever it is we're in, Jonathan can tell us. Every county has a section about what it can use its room tax for because it's gone and gotten that state legislation. Many counties look at it as a fund that they can raid for different things. County, it's not unusual for counties to say, well, we have tourists coming in here and we have to maintain the roads. And so some of that money ought to be used to maintain the roads. Or we have to have sheriff's patrols that that keep these tourists safe, so we ought to use the money for that. It's a slippery slope. And going back in history, we used to fund TCAD and economic development out of the property tax levy. I can't remember the figure. It seems to me Mike Stam might remember. It was around $200,000 when Stu Stein was working on that. That was stripped as the IDA was generating more and more administrative revenues. And for a while, that was great. You had the Lake Source Cooling Project and other things that brought a lot of the revenues into the IDA, and then TCAD could use that to operate. But it was not a full-time thing. And eventually that began to, because those were up, the legislature, a majority of the legislature, some of us were opposed to it, stripped the amount of money from the real property tax down to, I don't know what it was, $15,000, $20,000 was all that we put in out of room tax. Well, then what happened in the 2008 recession and the change in the state laws that didn't allow us to have the not-for-profit administrative fees anymore? We were saddled with how do you support TCAD? How do we support economic development? And that's when this proposal came up to dip into the room tax. I personally didn't support it then. I understand why the majority wanted to do that, because we were hurting across the board, as were all municipalities at that point, 2009, for example. But we ought to keep this fund for that, and we ought to be spending a reasonable amount of money for economic development out of the tax base, because it is the economic development that, of course, provides jobs, and that's, I'm not undermining that at all, but it also helps us keep the tax base for the county up by producing industrial or commercial jobs, a tax base, adding to the existing assessments, so that the money can come in and help keep the overall tax base down. So I don't think it's wrong to invest some of our real property taxes for that purpose. I think I wasn't there at the PDEC meeting, but I think this resolve that was added makes a lot of sense. It gets us away from that. Yes, maybe the revenues are going up in the room tax. Great. You know, when we worked on this years ago, we were hoping that's what would happen, so there would be more money for the purposes of the room tax that we were spending, not to set up a slush fund. So I will vote against this amendment.
Deborah?
So let me preface this by saying to our TCAD visitors, this has nothing to do with the quality of your work. I said it at the PDAC meeting, I'll say it again. I know you guys are among the hardest working people in Tompkins County, and you have a lot of good things to show for what you do. So don't take this personally. This is about the funding, okay? So having said that, back in 2012, when this task force, which, as Amanda said, reached its conclusion after a contentious, emotional, and protracted debate, one of the things that they recommended was that in 5 years, another task force would look at this allocation of funds. Now, had it been up to me, I would have certainly followed that recommendation this time around. Had it been presented to me as a choice, I would have suggested that we just bump the current arrangement up for a year and revisit these issues. But it wasn't up to me. So we were presented with a model that adopted the 55-45 split, which, as Jason has admitted, was arbitrary. It is not representative of what contributions TCAD makes to tourism versus what the other STPB organizations contribute to tourism. There's really no way that we can quantify that with any accuracy. I know, Martha, you're fond of crediting every business head in a bed to TCAD's efforts, but the fact is that we have Cornell and we have Ithaca College and we have a bunch of businesses here who probably have never talked to TCAD. I don't want to get into trying to quantify that, but I don't see any reason to adopt an arbitrary number because 5 years ago, that's what the county could afford to spend. The fact of the matter is, yes, hotel tax is county money, but as one of the PDEC members commented at our last meeting, it's free money. It doesn't come from our taxpayers. It doesn't cost us anything to spend it. And that makes it very easy for us to say, sure, TCAD's worth $250,000 a year, and we'll take more than half of that from room tax, and we won't feel it. If TCAD is worth $250,000 a year, and many of us think that it is, then the responsible thing for us to do is include its services in our weighing and balancing of priorities, not to look for a cheap out. And so I really do object to this offered amendment. I think it makes it too easy for us to say, oh, yeah, we'll spend $250,000 here. And one piece of why this offends me as much as it does is that TCAD is comparatively quite comfortable when you look at its budget and its salaries compared to most of the other beneficiaries of STPB monies. Now, I know you guys earn your money. Don't take this as an insult. But you're paid quite a bit better than most of the arts and cultural organizations in this town. And I also noticed that from 2017, or between year-end 2016 and year-end 2017, your budget went up 25%. I guarantee you that if any arts and culture organization or any tourism group in this county enjoyed a 25% budget increase last year, they'd still be dancing in the streets in the middle of 2018. I'm not criticizing you for this. What I'm saying is that hotel tax money should help those organizations that really need the boost. And we should be responsibly weighing and balancing the money that we give to TCAD against the likelihood that we might have to raise taxes in order to afford their services. Thank you.
Rich?
Deborah, I didn't mean to be offensive in any way, but I look at it and I say there is a direct correlation between the economic development work that TCAD does and the use of our hotels. That's where the tax revenue is coming from. It seems entirely sensible to say this is a cycle that we support. And we're talking about, in the resolution, just as arbitrary numbers as the ones we historically have. So I don't know that there's a basis for real vehemence here. But if you're talking about raising the property tax or raising this money from the property tax and not reducing the hotel tax, then you're talking about a tax increase. I assume that we would maintain the same hotel tax and just spend it somewhere else on other things. And so we're talking about whatever we're going to fund TCAD with, we're going to raise property taxes by that amount. And I'm not sure I support that. That doesn't seem reasonable in that we've had a pathway that has been a compromise that has worked and has allowed us to maintain financial stability. I don't see that's offensive in any way. I'm just surprised by the term.
First, can I ask about the budget going up 25%? I flew by in an email a while ago, and I forgot to get to try to find out why.
For the most part, it was one-time expenses related to the hiring of consultants. It's not a consistent increase. We hired consultants related to our investment drive and economic development strategy. So, again, it was predominantly one-time expenses. There was also some flow through our budget with IDA revenues coming in and the expense going out was for the energy coordinator that is a joint venture with Tompkins County Planning Department.
Okay, so those consultants were not recurring expenses that came from the fund balance?
That's right, and will be replenished.
Mike Sigler and then Amanda.
I'll be quick. I think this is an interesting issue for the simple fact that I think it shows that you can have difference of opinion and that both sides can be right at the same time. I mean, it seems like everybody's kind of saying the same thing, and it's just a matter of how this thing is funded. And because of that, I do lean definitely more, I think, with Rich's on what he's saying. And part of it's because, you know, we touted a lot about the airport, and the airport's going to get $14.2 million. Why is the airport so great? Well, because the airport, it's a net gain for us, right? More people come and spend money than money goes out. I'm pretty sure that the people flying in are not flying in to hike the gorges. I think they're flying in for Cornell, right? And they're flying in for businesses and how to start businesses and those kind of meetings. But, you know, I think of my brother. You know, he flies out to London. He goes and, you know, from 9 to 5, he's working his job. But from 5 to 10, he's out spending money in the city. That I think a lot of people, just the nature of tourism has changed as well. You know, I don't know many people who go away for a week and just kind of slough off and never check their email and never. It just, the nature has changed, you know, of our connectivity to the world. So that's why I definitely see that there's a place in the tourism money for this. And I understand that we still say that there is. But, you know, I get tired of the government, like the state government, saying this lottery money, yeah, this is going to education. And we all know it doesn't go to education. It goes to the general fund, and then, yes, they dole it out to education, supposedly, and that happens. But I really think that people do pay money into this room tax, and it's to create a vibrant society. But, I mean, gosh, if we just looked at every single one of these organizations, I love the theater. I go to the theater a lot. Go to the Hangar. Go see the show that's there now, Fortune. It's apparently very good. I'll go see it. The Kitchen Theater is beloved by many, you know. Jim Dennis used to love the Kitchen Theater. His wife is on the board. But if you were to look at those as tourism generators, they're not. They, you know, 11%, I think, the Kitchen Theater comes out of county to come to that theater. You know, that's an organization that benefits us. I think the only thing that would be getting money is like the Science Center, which I think pulls 50%. So, yeah, if we mark everything down by just being a tourism generator, then everybody kind of loses. And I think TCAD, I mean, I'm looking at some of the stuff that happens that really does bring people in. I mean, this Emma's Cookies or whatever the thing is, what are they in, 22 states now? It's crazy. So if you're trying to tell me that they're not bringing people to Tompkins, to check them out and say, hey, this is, I mean, that's bringing in people. And those people are coming in, and then I'm thinking that the people that are making the cookies are saying, hey, you should go check out this gorge. And you should go, we have more restaurants per person or something like that in this county than New York City. they should come and eat here. That's fantastic. So, I don't know. I see that as a tourism generator, and I see business as a tourism generator. So that's why I'll be supporting Rich's amendment. Thank you.
Got Amanda next.
Yeah, two things. One is a question for Jason. So you said that this is an annual appropriation.
Yes.
It could potentially change. When and how does that happen? Is that in the budget season?
Actually, there's multiple sections in here where you could technically change it mid-year or the budget time. So the first one is the appropriation, the language that has your 5-year, you know, 5 years, and then the allotment under Section 2. I'll just read it just so I say it. The estimated equivalent to one-third of TCAD's annual budget subject to annual appropriation by the county legislature, provided that the county contribution shall not exceed X. So that, and as has been interpreted, is that you annually have to appropriate it. The other component to this is, or I could say another way, you don't have to annually appropriate it. The other component of this is number three. It kind of says if you have a decrease in the bed tax revenues or the IDA LDC fees drop, you have the ability to revisit this agreement. In the Section 7, when it talks about this, the fund balance numbers, if it exceeds $600,000, at any point in those times, you can make a determination to say, you know what, reasonably speaking, you would say if you've already committed for year one or year two, you know, the following year, based on these elements, we want to increase our contribution, change our contribution. That's to TCAD. As far as your internal makeup, which is what the basis of this discussion is, you can change that as you see fit. Generally, it would be done, you know, prior to the fiscal year starting. Yeah, you know, unless there's some drastic change in the economy that requires you to make some mid-year, well, you know, change in that, which could happen, but not likely, you would generally do it for the upcoming year. To answer your question?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And then I just wanted to respond to something Rich said, or just the discussion of the arbitrary numbers. I wanted it to be zero from room tax. That's what I wanted. So this, you know, and in this model, the first year, there will actually be more money coming out of room tax and going to TCAD. And then when you get to the second, third, fourth years, it goes significantly down. So to me, that's a compromise, suggesting this is a compromise. So far I haven't seen a compromise on the other side. This is people saying, this is how it used to be, so this is how we should keep it. That's not a compromise to me.
Anna?
I have to say there's a couple comments, but, you know, firstly, your first comment, Mike, that I very much agreed with. I think that this is an issue of a limited amount of funding, period, end of story. And everyone has their own idea and priority and value system of where they end on the spectrum of where we should put our limited resources. So I just hope that we all can respect everyone's decisions in this. I think this is a really hard decision. I think both pathways are arbitrary as far as the numbers, but so be it. That's not a bad thing. They reflect the priorities of two different groups. I would say, though, that both are compromises. And if you look at the numbers of where things were previously, the budget that was submitted by Jason actually is, if I understand correctly, 70% or $70,000 increase into the levy.
For year one, yes.
Right. So compared to where it was, it could have been a 0% increase in tax levy. But based off of discussions that I had with Jason, getting feedback from all the committee members, Jason gave that as a recommendation, which was a compromise. The other one is $135,000 difference, right? So $135,000 increase on the levy. So I just want to acknowledge that they both do reflect an increase in the levy. Both of them will. And they do reflect our different priorities. I think that every single one of the organizations that receive taxpayer money or receive room tax are underfunded, every single one, including the CDB. And when I look at, so I just want to note that. And then when we talk about TCAD, I really just want to acknowledge that we don't put that much money into economic development. We really don't. And we get a lot for what we put in. So I hope that we can all really appreciate that. So I just wanted to correct those pieces and add those pieces of information.
All right. Let's go to people who haven't spoken yet. Dave and Shauna.
Okay. I own the fact that it is free money, and I believe it is free money, as I believe the casino money is free money, because it's people doing what they want to do, and we get a piece of it, and it does not come out of our taxpayers' pocket. And that's the thing that I'm most adamant about and want to protect, is the taxpayers' pocket, okay? I think that there's a lot of room for compromise on both sides, but I'd still like to see this percentage stay higher than 25%. And the reason I say that is the room tax money, as long as it's continuing to increase, everybody's going to get a piece of that pie. I don't care who it is. Anybody that gets room tax money is going to get some of that. If it goes the other way, Jason's circuit breaker is going to flag us to do something to fix the problem, and we will. So I'm suggesting that we change those numbers and keep them above 50% or at 50% or higher, and that's the way I feel about it.
Shauna, did I see your hand?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. So over the past 5 days, I've probably gone back and forth over these resolutions about 100 times. I've looked at Jason's spreadsheets. I've looked at other spreadsheets. I've tried to do the calculations. I'm horrible at math. So I have my own issues. But I guess I wanted to my thought initially was that I don't want anything affecting my social services, right? I don't want, we have some things going on with our shelter that I'm concerned about that could cost a lot of money. We have Raise the Age coming up. Like, these are things that are really important to me. And while we might say that this is free money, this is a way of paying these kind people that are doing a great service in our community. So for one, It concerned me to think of that I might have to choose to not allocate a certain amount of money to our shelter, and we have to raise the age, because we aren't allocating the funding that we use for them in a certain way. However, thinking about it, I also do see the side that, you know, equivocally they bring in, you know, let's just say 25%. I think that's a research number and a number that many people agree upon. And that makes sense, kind of going back to the basics and really getting it right. I think what Amanda noted and what Mike also said was that we can get it right here, and if we really believe that they're providing the service that costs $250,000, then we can justify it being a taxpayer expense. With that said, I've heard everyone talk about compromise, specifically Dave, Amanda. Is there any way that for the last 2 years we could actually make it 35%? That way it would meet everyone right in the middle, and I think everyone would be happy.
You mean change the what's in the resolution so that you just have 20, instead of 25%, you say 35% in 2022 and 2023. Is that?
Yep.
We can do that, sure. Is that your amendment?
That is my amendment.
Oh, wait.
Amendment to the amendment.
That's right, yeah. Well, actually, let me think, because if that one eliminates the resolved, can we amend it? What? Should we deal with this one first? Mike?
I think the amendment basically reintroduces what's already there with the change. So I think that's a perfectly valid amendment to the amendment. I'd defer to Jonathan, but
no, I agree with that.
that it's okay to put... Okay. Okay, now, all right, I saw Leslin's hand. I understand, right. Is there a second to the amendment to the amendment? All right, Mike seconds that. All right, I'm going to go to Leslin, and whether it's on the amendment or on the original.
Well, if the amendment is on the floor, we should be talking about the amendment, but the amendment is similar to the original, so in some respects. So I want to add my voice to this conversation because there are certain things I'm hearing that's disturbing me. Deborah, you mentioned the word offensive, and I have a thick skin. There are very few things that offend me. And I also heard you all who did your research about what happened in 2012, and thank you, Mike, for the historical recollection, is this body did not just sit around, and I sat on this body and wring our hands and say, oh, God, TCAT is in trouble, let's do something, let's just go pull tourism money. You're right. We put a task force together, and we had people take a look at this, and Mike is very right. There was blood on the floor, so we didn't come at this lightly. So I don't want anybody around this table to be setting that out, that that's what we did. We did not come at this lightly. There literally was blood on the floor about, so we put this task force together, they come back with a recommendation, and we don't like what they came back with. Goodness gracious me, why did we put them to do this job? Some of us didn't care for it. But we also recognize and have to think about what's going on. Amanda? You went on your list of whoever could get dollars, and there are arguments that can be made for so many things. I've been arguing for years that the airport should get funded out of tourism dollars because the airport is definitely a place where folks come and their beds and heads based in the airport. Let me get to TCAD. We don't have our own economic development arm of the county. This is it. They are it. Those hotels aren't just jumping up by themselves without the work that these fine folks are doing to go and court people and make it happen here. Our arts organizations, I'm an actress, I'm on the stage. We are not bringing in the property tax dollars that's supporting the programs you talk about, Shauna. The play at the hangar isn't doing that. My one-woman show isn't doing that. It's the local folks coming to see that. It's the hotels, it's the businesses that are bringing those folks here to then give us that room tax money. So for me, I look at it a little differently. I look at it as what is the benefit we are getting there. And if we are not supporting what we didn't have ourselves as an economic development arm, which I believe will cost us a whole lot more money if we had it as a county department, we all know that, we'll be looking at spending a ton more than this $250,000 or whatever it is we're spending here. If those arts organizations and everyone else was bringing the kind of property tax revenue that they were bringing, I would agree with the argument. I would agree with that amendment, but they're not. This is what's doing it. And so I'm going to vote the original amendment of the amendment, whatever, was on the floor at this point, and I will not support the one that's on the floor now because I think we have to be, for me, sensible about where our property tax dollars are coming from that's going to support those mandated services and the things that are going to come up that we are going to be looking to support as well. And it's not from me doing a show. It's not from the Ithaca Festival. It's not from Reggae Fest. It's not from those things. Sales tax revenue, yeah, we get it from there. But it's not our property tax. As regressive as that doggone thing is, it's where we get it, but we know that's the majority of what we get to help support the work that we're doing here in this county. I feel like I should say, and I rest my case, Your Honor.
Is there anybody who hasn't spoken who would like to say anything? Besides me? Thank you, Leslin. Shauna, what you said about, and Jason, you know, if
we have to do the stuff nobody else wants to do. We have to find a solution to the shelter. We have to pay for Medicaid. We want to do something on LEAD. We want maybe to do something for OAR. TCAD makes money for this community. I mean, they literally make money for us. The counties, now, I don't remember this task force being that, I don't remember it being bloody. It wasn't a unanimous vote, but it was supported. It was absolutely supported by the legislature. We changed the local law to say that this was a legitimate thing. There is, if you say it's a slippery slope, then you buy the NRA's argument. Sorry about, one regulation on guns is a slippery
slope.
Heaven's
sakes.
All right. So the point is, this, when the county decided to step up and fund approximately a third of the budget for TCAD, that stimulated the business community in a huge way to step up and actually give more than our third. And it made a tremendous amount of difference for the business community to hear that the legislature believed in TCAD and was willing to put money behind the organization. So the question is, you can nickel and dime one way or the other. I think the fundamental issue is the 55-45 is quite reasonable. Most of the growth beyond that will go to tourism. The formula will work out to STPB's benefit over the long, over the short and the long term. And at the end of the day, it really is a matter of when there are things that only the property tax can pay for. Moving some of this, a modest amount, the tourism budget, they're going to get, I didn't bring the whole spreadsheet, but it's, I think, $2.1 million next year. It goes up 3%, more than 3% every year. It's been going up by 5 and 6%. So to wring our hands about the tourism program, it's growing, and that's wonderful. It's well over $2.1 million right now and likely to keep growing. This is, I think, a very small and reasonable amount of property tax to put into TCAD, and it just enables us to have, at the end of, if it's stabilized at 25%, then that's a full FTE every year that we're essentially giving up. We're giving up the funding of a full-time equivalent that could be funded by the room tax without damaging the overall tourism program. But it might be a critical position that we just can't find the money for in the county budget. And when you've been through 16 years' worth of expanded budget committee meetings, when you've got the library saying, we really, really need somebody, to do the youth program, and you've got highway saying, we're really in trouble with we need another machinery HEO, heavy equipment operator. And you've got weights and measures saying, we only have one person in this department. We need another person. Compared to a slight amount taken out of a $2.1, $2.3, $2.5 million budget, I think Jason's proposal is reasonable and balanced. And I will vote against the new amendment and then vote in favor of Rich's amendment. So, Deborah?
First of all, you may think it's reasonable. Obviously, some of us don't. And secondly, what I'm hearing, thank you, Leslin, for that. TCAD builds our property tax base. So, to my mind, the money we pay them should come from property tax.
Are we ready, Ann?
I just want to add, and thank you for the presentation again. I'm I'm learning a little bit more, and I think I see you guys are tweaking it a little bit each time. So thank you for adding more and polishing your presentation and giving us more information.
You're welcome.
So why I am in favor of taking the money out of property tax money or adding to the taking out of there is because for two reasons. The number one reason is because I would like it that TCAD's funding more tied to the type of economic development that the people of this county have been telling me that they want is good jobs. And they're changing or their focus is more evolving, I would say, and I totally support TCAD in saying that they're looking more towards, you know, maintaining, which they have already been doing a lot of this, but maintaining and creating really good jobs, which I know tourism funds a lot of the is a big part of our economic base here, but it's not the good jobs that we need. So I would like to see it tied towards more good jobs that then people are going to be paying taxes, people are going to be able to afford to buy goods here, people are going to hopefully afford to live here. So that's why I am wanting it to come out of that money.
I'm sorry, which money?
Property tax.
Leslin?
See, I would happily accept that argument if none of it was coming out of property tax. I would have said, yeah, you're right. We should be paying for some of it out of property tax. But some of it is. Some of it already is, and some of it will be. So we're already investing that line in TCAT already. It's not like we're not doing any of it. We are doing some of it. And the rest of it, we're taking out of a different stream of funding. So for me, you know, it's not an argument because it's already happening. We're doing it. We're not solely saying, let's just fund it with one set of money. We're not just saying that. I wouldn't agree to that. If we were saying all room tax and nothing else, I wouldn't agree to that. But we are also investing property tax, taxpayer dollars, into it.
I'm pretty sure people know where they're going to vote. So,
I haven't had a fun argument in a while. Let's go.
And just to, well.
Less than I have
There's also been a request to add, could we think about this longer? STPB needs to know what their budget's going to be, I think. At some point, people don't actually learn anything more. We repeat ourselves. Jason, did you want to say something else?
No.
Okay. And the gentleman who entered the room a little while ago is my husband, because we are going to I have to leave after this part to drive to Washington for a funeral, family funeral. So I'm interested in moving this a little bit along. So we have, if there's nothing else, we have Shauna's amendment to in front of us, so to just simply changing the 25% to 35%. All in favor of that amendment?
That's the first amendment?
What? This is the amendment to the amendment. This will change what is in the resolution that will be on the floor.
And then
we come back to Rich's amendment, which would take it out entirely.
Only if Shauna's fails.
No. If Shauna, either way, if Shauna passes, then resolved.
That's the main amendment.
Yes.
That becomes the main amendment, and we still have in front of us whether to keep it or not. Okay?
Not if Shauna's passes.
No, if Shauna's passes, we can still take it out entirely.
It would have to be another amendment.
So it replaces.
No, if Shauna's passes.
That becomes the main motion.
Yes.
The main motion, the amendment on the floor.
And then we go back to Rich's.
And then you would have to vote a second time.
Yes.
On Shauna's amendment.
That's what I thought. Good job, Shauna.
Yes. What?
Please start over.
Wait, say that again. We have to vote twice on...
Yes.
If Shauna's amendment passes, you will have to take a second vote on that because that becomes the main motion.
And Rich will have to amend again.
Yes.
Correct.
Can it still be called Shauna's amendment, is my question.
Whatever. Kathy's the boss. Okay. Any in favor of changing the 25 to 35%? Please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six. Seven to six, that fails.
No.
Now?
Yes, it fails.
Seven to six. You need eight votes to take any action.
Okay. So it falls back now to the First Amendment. Correct, Kathy?
That's correct. It's Rich's amendment to remove the resolved.
To remove the resolved altogether. Everybody clear?
Yes.
Which would send it? What, Jason?
Nothing. No, I'm good.
Which would mean it goes back to Jason's proposal of 55% coming?
No. Yes, yes.
Yeah, the MOU as identified in Jason's proposal, in Jason's MOU, not modified with respect to where the money comes from. If this resolved comes out,
if it does,
that's what I'm saying. Okay. If Rich's motion passes, then the result. What?
I thought you said it had already.
I said if it passes, then the main motion is: do we accept Jason's package? Okay, that cleared everybody. All right, all in favor of the motion to remove that new resolve, what's now the first resolve. Please raise your hands. Seven. Opposed? Seven to six. So this, the motion, so that stays in the amendment, stays in the resolution. Okay? So...
speak to the resolution then?
So right. So there's now ready to vote or discuss the entire thing. Mike.
We need to pass this. The folks at TCAD really need to start their fundraising efforts. And they need to go to the community and they need to know that there is a firm commitment from their biggest partner, which is Tompkins County, to support the activities and the office of TCAD. We need to move it forward. They need to be able to go to the educational institutions, IC, Cornell, others, and say, see, the county's in for this. We need your money. Or they need to go to the BorgWarners, or they need to go to any of the things that, any of the membership that they have. They need to solicit new members. And they need our support here to show that they have this basic fundamental support from our county. So I hope we pass this.
I've got Ann, then Mike Sigler, then Anna.
I second what Mike just said, and as far as the resolved and the amendments that we talked about, excuse me, as far as the financing, I would definitely be willing to sit down and try and come up with something that, you know, that could make most folks at least happy or palatable. So I recommend passing this, and then we sit down and talk again about the funding.
Well, there's a process for that. I mean, it'll happen in the fall.
Oh, you're talking about next year?
This or whenever it would come up again.
5 years from now.
I mean, it's not sort of an ad hoc thing. We just set up a work. It'll happen in the budget process. This will become one of the many assumptions that go into Jason's overall budget proposal. And frankly, we won't even realize. It'll be one of many numbers. So I've got Mike Sigler and then Anna.
I want to echo Mike's sentiments and Ann's sentiments, but I want to echo them like 5 minutes ago when we were voting on Rich's amendment. Because, really? That's literally the same speech I could have given. And that was awful, what just happened. Just so you know. Like, oh, vote for our stuff now because it's the only thing. Well, yeah. I could have made the same argument 5 minutes ago. So that just annoys me. I'm sorry. That was bad. With that said, I'm more than happy. Let's get Dan on the phone and ask Dan what he wants to do.
What?
Dan Klein. Dan Klein, because he's our eighth vote. One way or the other.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Dan was on our side anyway. So.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. I don't know. We'll find out in 2 weeks when Dan is back. Well, I won't be here in 2 weeks.
I hope not. I mean, yes, we could. There could be a motion to reconsider, but please. And then Dave.
Just saying, I mean, as I said before, I think there are absolutely valid points on both sides. And I have, like Shauna, gone back. In fact, we've texted each other in distress over the issues here because there are certainly people who are going to win and there are people who are going to lose. I would have been more comfortable with the 35, which is why I voted for it, than the 25, certainly. We're now stuck with the 25, which I'm not as comfortable with, but that is what we have. And ultimately, for me, what is important is that we put money into economic development. So I really hope people vote for this tonight and we move forward.
Was there somebody after Anna before Leslin? Dave, right. Okay, I didn't write Dave down. Dave and then Leslin.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say that the county is going to support TCAD no matter what. I think that's a bogus argument. But I'd like to make a motion that we accept this on a one-year basis and come up with a committee to study it and come up with a new proposal for going down the road. That's my motion.
I'm not seconding it.
Let me see. In other words, what?
We do 75% this year, whatever's outlined there, was it 75%?
Let's see if we can get this in a way that is, see if it's, so if you said, so you want to amend the resolution to do 1 year of funding with the 75% from the room tax, 25% from property tax, and establish a task force to develop a funding formula going forward?
Yeah, I'd like to see a study in more depth and I'd like to have more people's input.
Okay. Is that, Jonathan? Is that frameable? Is that something we can put into resolution like this? This is.
Yeah, I mean, he's just saying that amend it so that it's a 1 year agreement at 75%, basically.
Okay, let me just clarify and I'll ask for a second. Do you mean a one-year agreement to TCAD or a five-year agreement to TCAD with a one-year agreement on how to fund it? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I could go either way with that one. It's fine. We're going to come to a decision. If you want to establish a five-year contract, I'll go that way.
Okay, so a five-year contract with a one-year definition of where the money will come from. Is there a second for that? Rich seconds that. Okay, on that amendment, Amanda?
Right, so doing that completely negates what we just voted on because, as we said, the 75% will actually be more coming out of room tax than property tax for that 1 year. So that's what some of you want.
Rich and Leslin?
Amanda, I take your point. And why I seconded Dave's motion is it seems like we have nothing near a consensus of what we want to do on this legislature about this issue. Other than we all know we want to fund TCAD, and we should. And this allows us to try to work through and resolve it. I'd be happy to further amend the amendment to go to 55-45 to use Jason's split for this first year, and let's see if we can achieve consensus. But that's why I seconded.
All right. Is that an amendment to the amendment?
No, there was no second.
Wait a minute. I'm asking if that's an amendment to the amendment.
I hesitate to do an amendment to the amendment, but Amanda makes a good point, and I was saying I would agree to that if somebody wanted to pursue that as the compromise.
So the answer is yes.
All right.
And is there a second to that? Okay. We're done.
I don't know how to do this, but I accept that as friendly.
Oh, okay.
There, so we don't have an amendment to the amendment.
Okay. All right. So the plan is 55-45. Who was it? Right. Who was the seconder on? Rich was the seconder.
Right.
Okay.
It's all in the family.
See, Steve, why I couldn't tell you when I'd be done? Okay. All right. Michael, I think Leslin was next, and then Mike Lane.
Thank you. Dave framed in the form of a motion what Annie said about what she'd like to do. And thank you, Dave, for framing it in the form of a motion, because it put it out there for discussion, which was basically to, you know, let's just do this and, you know, she'll take a look, have folks come together and take a look at it, and we can revisit it in the next year. So I was willing to support that. Now, I don't know that I'm willing to support your friendly thing, because I thought that looked like it was getting nods around the table for agreeing to what we have for 1 year with a look-see. I can't speak tonight. I am just like, yeah. Take a look, an in-depth look at it, and come back with something that all of us can potentially support. Now, I'm not sure that what's on the table is going to get good support. And I'm afraid it's not going to work for TCAT to walk out of here with something.
Anna.
I would really love to hear from TCAD how a five-year commitment with only a known value of this doesn't affect you at all, correct?
Well, considering that the side of my temple is pulsating and my toes have curled up in my shoes, I'm not sure if it does or not. But I do thank Deborah Dawson for saying, don't take this personally. That was,
it isn't personal.
I know that. I'm just joking. And I think you all need a good joke at this point, and maybe more. What we really need is a five-year commitment at the specific dollar amount that your county administrator is recommending. Where that comes from, we have our own opinions. We're not going to voice them. We never will. That's up to you folks. I wish you good luck. But if a home run for us is walking away tonight with that five-year commitment of funding, of that specific dollar amount, and where you get the money, as long as it's legal, that's fine with us.
Thank you.
We
I appreciate
just,
it.
Michael, we just wanted you to really miss us.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, I'm sorry. Mike Lane, I'm sorry.
Anna put the question I wanted, so that's fine.
So I'm not on PDEC, but I was there for the discussion, and I was really disturbed by the resolution, because I thought we should just pass the MOU, which set the amount of money that was to go to TCAD, and that the specific split was not relevant to the TCAD spending, not relevant to that allocation, and I thought it didn't belong in the resolution. So, but I guess that was 7-6. So, all right, are we ready to vote? And if I can figure out what we are voting on.
Can we have some clarification on what where we are, where we stand?
Right. Did I miss anybody who had their hand? Leslie, did I get to you? I'm sorry. Okay. Rich? Yeah.
My understanding of what we'd be voting on is a five-year commitment to TCAD with a commitment in the room here on how we're going to fund for the first year on a 55-45 split, with a commitment that we would then revisit this issue to see if we wanted to do a different percentage in years to come.
And 55% from room tax, 45% from property tax, right? Anna?
My understanding, and this is the one piece I do want to clarify when we talk about trying to get to consensus, is the will of the room that there will be a task force to create the next 4 years of funding, or is it just going to be a bantering back and forth like this? Because honestly, I'm not interested in doing what we're doing now tonight. I think we've gotten everything out that we want to say. So I don't see how any more prolonged discussion is going to change anyone's opinion. So if we are going to do that, I think that I'd like to ask Jason the logistics of moving up a task force.
I think, not to get too much into the weeds, but let's clarify now. If you're going to have a task force, I would ask who's going to appoint the task force. Is there going to be a subcommittee of PDAC? Is it going to be made of just legislators and myself? Are you going to bring other stakeholders into this discussion? That would be my clarity. And I would also throw out there a fallback that if no conclusion is met, that something prevails in years 2 through 5, by the chance that no consensus has come to at that point, should as a safeguard, so to speak.
Well, we certainly can't stick with nothing.
I'm going to
to clarify, because you're talking about getting a task force together. The last one included multiple stakeholders across the community.
It's a big project. It's a big project. This is not anybody's work plan. And I'm going to vote against this, because I think new legislators need to, kick the tires. Try passing a budget. I think it's too early to set up a task force when you haven't been through a year's worth of work on this body. That's why the idea of putting a task force in 4 years, that makes sense. Look, we can agonize over every decision we make and keep coming back to it and keep coming back to it and keep coming back to it. But I don't think we should. I think we just do something, move on and try it, and then move on to the next big debate we're going to have. So I understand what you're trying to say, Dave. I think this is not the right time to do this. We're not ready. It's not going to be useful. It certainly won't be as useful as it will in 4 years. That's the right timing. Mike Lane and then Anna.
Called question on the amendment.
Is there a second to that?
I'd like to speak.
Well, so is that a second? We can vote down. So that's been seconded, but we can
point of
vote
clarification.
Down. We can vote down calling the question. So
I just have a point of clarification. I just want to make sure. What we have is an amendment on the floor that would create funding for 1 year of 55-45, and if that does not pass, then we go back to the amendment that has the 75-50-50-25-25.
Right.
All right.
That's
the original.
The
it's not the amendment.
Right.
That's not my point.
Okay. Question is, should we call the question that is to stop debate? Please raise your hand if you want to stop debate. I'll wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 10 to 3. Okay, so it's time that passes. It's time to vote on the amendment by Dave to amended and friendly by Rich that the 2019 allocation will be 55-45. And we will, I guess, immediately or soon set up a task force to work out the funding going forward. Is that accurate?
There's a task force in this amendment?
Yeah, that's the whole idea, is that we set up another group, a group, to figure out the next 4 years. Okay. All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed? That fails 6-7. Jason sighs with relief.
I would, if I may add, Madam Chair, if this next resolution fails, the one that's on the floor, which is the original one, I would suggest that I be able to facilitate a conversation with four legislators, two from each side of this issue, to try to come to a resolution promptly within the next month for TCAD.
Absolutely. All right. Ready to vote on the main motion, which is as it was put forth by PDEC with those two small changes in the whereas. All right. Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hands. You can't vote, Michael. You messed me up. Opposed? 12-1. That passes. All right. Michael, you'll remember us. I know when you're up there on Stam Island, and I'm sure I've probably, maybe one of my worst led meetings. I'm afraid that's what.
Well, I thank you very much. And as was discussed during the power plant issue, democracy reigns supreme in this room, and democracy can often be lengthy and uncomfortable, but it's the right thing to do. And it was, I think, a very friendly, respectful discussion. I'd just like to make a couple points that won't require a vote or an amendment to a vote. I really appreciate the comments relative to social services and tourism. I was the first treasurer of the Drop-In Children's Center, so that has a place in my heart. I was part of the group that hired Charlie Troutman as the first Science Center executive director. And I was also president of the Board of Trustees of the library. So all these great entities that we all know and love deserve your support. And it's not easy to determine how to best support them. And finally, in leaving, and I wish Heather had left and Martha came back, but I would ask you moving forward to, and I'll challenge you to in turn challenge TCAD to do the right thing. And what you've done in the past, and you being the legislature in general and past iterations, have had an enormous influence on what we do, and I challenge you to continue to do that. Thank you.
I would just add, Michael, this was all scripted. This was actually, you know, we've been practicing this. Yeah.
It was a goodbye party for
right,
you.
It was a goodbye.
This well, a- actually, the Marx Brothers did this way better.
They had more
Michael.
Time to
Thank
rehearse.
Thank you, Heather and Martha, and Margaret has left. I really appreciate all of your work. Thank you. All right. Before Anna comes up, let's just run through the consent agenda. I feel badly for Amy and Lance. We had them sitting through all of that. If I can, I'll tell you what, Anna, you just read the consent agenda. All right, you got it?
Got it.
All right. Please come on up and do the consent agenda before the break, okay? And then, all right, thank you all. I'm afraid, sorry, I have to leave. Thank you.
Great. So moving to the consent agenda, and I do want to thank you all for staying. Even though it is a single vote, you aren't even probably going to be discussed at all. Thank you for coming. Much appreciated. So moving to the consent agenda, I'm going to read through the items that are on the agenda. We have first, from Facilities and Infrastructure, Resolution A, authorization to execute a supplemental agreement with Clark Patterson Lee for construction inspection and support services,
CR-119, Coddington Road Highway Safety Improvement at Burns Road and East King Road intersections, Town of Ithaca, PIN 3753.24, ID 7843. We have from Government Operations Committee, Resolution B, Appointment of Election Commissioner for 2019 to 2020, ID 7886. From Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution Number C, approving Tompkins County's 2018 Title VI Program and Policies for the Federal Transit Administration, and that is pending committee action, which was already done. And that is ID 7860. Resolution D, designating Tompkins County Energy Task Force as Climate Smart Communities Task Force for Tompkins County, and that's ID 7900. From Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Resolution E, authorizing a public hearing on proposed local law number A of 2018, a local law overriding tax levy limit for 2019, ID 7894. From Public Safety Committee, Resolution F, Rich, did you have any comments on Resolution F, or you want to leave that on consent agenda?
I think there was a change to one of them.
Sorry. It should be
pulled. Better pull it.
Off.
All right. So Resolution F is pulled. From Health and Human Services, Resolution G, increase in hours for Deputy Director of Youth Services, ID 7889. Do I have a mover for the consent agenda? Oh, and also, I apologize, we also have on the consent agenda advisory board appointments. Advisory Board on Indigent Representation, Sarah Coase, term expires December 31st, 2020. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Larry Roberts, Community Member Representative, term expires December 31st, 2019. And the Public Information Advisory Board, Larry Roberts, his term expires 2020. J.R. Claiborne, his term also expires at the end of 2020. Christine J. Croft, term expires at the end of 2019, and Stephanie Molinos, and her term expires at the end of 2020. Final Youth Services Board, Ian Schlachtner. Ian Schlachtner, at-large representative, term expires December 31st, 2019. Do I have a mover? Shauna, second. Leslin.
I wasn't seconding, Madam Chair. I had my hand up because I was trying to pull an appointment.
All right.
That you had your head down.
Yes, I did.
And that's the appointment of J.R. Claiborne.
All right.
Consent agenda, and I'm only pulling it because I want to disclose that that is my husband.
Yes. Well, thank you for that disclosure. So with those two pulls, can I have a mover? I have Shauna and a second. I have Glenn. Any questions? All ready to vote? All in favor? All again? All opposed? That is unanimous, 13-0. And we have to vote on these two then separately.
Correct.
So I am going to send us on break, and we will then vote on these two that were pulled.
No, then they come up under.
We'll do that after the break. Oh, Lance. All right, so let's do F so that Lance can go home, and then we will take our very deserved break. So, Rich, will you please move?
Thank you, Anna.
Absolutely.
Yes, I would like to move Resolution F, Resolution in support of the New York State Bar Association Criminal Justice, or resolution calling for an increase in assigned counsel rates in the state of New York, and I'm moving the one with the proposed changes.
And can you share those proposed changes? Just highlight those.
It's striking the words criminal justice section in the title. And in the resolution at the bottom of the page, it's striking in the last whereas the words the New York State Bar Association criminal justice section supported by their committee on mandated representation has now submitted to. It's adding the words has now passed in the last whereas, so that last whereas reads, whereas the New York State Bar Association House of Delegates has now passed a resolution calling on the state of New York to increase assigned counsel rates in the state, and In the next paragraph, whereas it's adding the words, the New York State Bar Association House of Delegates resolution, and striking criminal justice section report. And that's repeated in the resolved. There is another additional resolved added, saying resolved further that the increase in rates should be a state expense and not result in another unfunded mandate to local counties.
Great.
And if I could just speak to the resolution.
Would you like to move it first and have a second?
I would move.
Can I have a second? I have Dave. Would you like to speak to it?
Yes, please. We have Lance Salisbury with us, and he can certainly answer questions in further detail. But this resolution is in support of proposed legislation in New York State to increase the assigned counsel rates for indigent defense. And for the benefit of those at home, the county uses an assigned counsel system where we reimburse private attorneys when they represent people who are unable to afford an attorney. This is a constitutional right. It's an important service we provide, and the rates have not been increased in several years. So this is a right-sizing move by the state if they come through with it. Lance, do you want to add to that?
Yes, I real briefly, the rates are currently $60 for misdemeanors, $75 an hour for felonies. They haven't been raised since 2004. The prior raise before 2004 was 1986. So it's in the rates are low. It's becoming an increase. It's having an increasing negative impact on our ability of attorneys to accept assigned counsel cases, particularly for a number of the firms that have attorneys that accept cases. And one of the concerns is our ability to maintain the program in the forthcoming years is going to start to be degraded. We've already lost a few attorneys in the last few years. They're migrating out to basically higher paying jobs with benefits. So that's one of the concerns here. I think just one thing to emphasize, this is now the New York State Bar Association policy. The House, it's their policy. It's going to be pushed forward, I think, and they'll make, in the next few months, make their decision in terms of their legislative agenda. This is expected to be on it. So I think it's an important thing to factor in there that it states that it needs to be a state-funded mandate and not a county mandate. That helps set the stage when it percolates next year in the legislature.
Mike?
We certainly would hope that that's what the state would do, but it would be possible for them to raise the rates and not fund it and require us to pay it. Is that correct?
Yes, in theory. That's why I thought, certainly it is. I know it'd be a shock if the state, gave you another unfunded mandate. A little sardonic, but that's, I thought, one of the benefits of supporting this resolution is because one of the statements it makes is it has to be a state-funded mandate. And I think the Bar Association carries some weight on these issues at the legislature.
I'm thinking about what they did to us on the salaries for the DA when they raised that but refused to give us the money to do that.
No, I'm aware of that, that issue on that.
Any more questions? All right, let's move it to a vote. All in favor? All opposed? That is unanimous, 13-0. 13, oh, we have 12 now? Oh, we have 12. God, we are dropping like flies. All right, so I'm going to call a recess. Very well needed.
Thank you.
But I thank you, Lance. Before we go, I do just want to say thank you to Martha Robertson. She had a death in the family and is driving all the way down to D.C., but stayed until 8 o'clock at night so that she could be a part of this conversation and let her discussion, very dynamic discussion for the first couple hours of this meeting. So safe travels to Martha. All right, let's take a break. All right. Come on in. We got to start. I want to get the.
Right.
He's
All right. So I want to first acknowledge that it to open privilege of municipal privilege of the floor for municipal officials. Any still here? Anyone? Anyone? Going once? Going twice? All right. Closing that. And since none of them made it through our long first half of our meeting, I am going to open up the privilege of the floor to legislators. Amanda.
I just want to say thank you to everybody for that discussion and for the acknowledgement that we all have different priorities. And as a new person here, and going through that and being able to state my position and hear other people's position without any vitriol, I really appreciate that. And, yeah, I hope we can do that again next time.
I hope we don't do that again next time. I hope there isn't a next time.
Not for a long, long time.
For a long time.
Model of how we should have
Mike.
Yeah. Are we at privilege now?
We are.
All right. So I have some great news to share with all of you. The healthcare consortium bill that we pushed for in this legislature, the thing that you know, we kept pushing with Senator Seward, the time we saw him, that actually did pass the Senate today.
Wow. So,
great news. So, yeah, that's for the NGOs. Still has to pass the Assembly, but for right now it passed the Senate, which is pretty great. Also, we were trying to get that third court judge for the county. That also passed the Senate.
Wow.
They're just moving right along.
Thank you for your work on both of those, Mike.
Yes. So, no, I'm so happy that they both went through. It's great. Want to do a big thank you. This is the last thing I have to say, actually. Big thank you to the Tompkins County Sheriff's Department, Bangs Ambulance, Lansing Fire Department, Tompkins County Department of Emergency Response, New York State Police, and the DEC Search and Rescue, because they were able to find Sophie Sock, who was missing. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. I don't think I am. But she went missing Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and was out on that hottest day that we've had this week, and they were able to find her in the evening in a wooded area near her home, and just fantastic that they were able to do that. So I really thank them for all their work.
That is great to hear. Thank you, Mike. Leslin?
Mike, thank you for that. I do want to echo those thanks to our emergency responders and law enforcement officials. A little bit of history. For those of you who do not know, today, June 19th, marks the official day for the end of slavery in the United States of America, commonly known as Juneteenth. June 19, 1865 is when the last people who were enslaved in the southern states, particularly Texas, received word that slavery, the emancipation, and this is 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation that officially ended slavery on January 1, 1863. They were not told. They did not know until General Gordon Granger and his Union soldiers made it with the message going throughout the southern states between June 13th and June 19th, letting them know, hence Juneteenth, that they were free. It was an abomination that slave owners who knew of this kept people enslaved for 2.5 years. So this day is known as Juneteenth. It is an official holiday in Texas, but also known as Freedom Day. And there's celebrations throughout the country put on by members of the African-American community. That's of a joy and celebration of freedom. It is unfortunate that today that we are still fighting for equality and racial justice, which brings me to my next point that is really heartbreaking to see images and listen to the stories of children and parents being separated. I agonized, couldn't sleep well last night just thinking about how at this time that we're celebrating freedom, how it equates to children and parents being separated and sold off to different plantations during slavery, and the agony of cries being ignored. We have got to do something, people. We, the people, cannot sit by silently and continue to let this happen. I understand the need for immigration reform. I'm an immigrant. I get it. But let's do sensible, humane reform. Let's not do the kinds of things that have children in cages like they are pet animals, and parents whose wounds are hurting and crying because their children are being separated from them. We are not an inhumane America. We are a society of love and a society of support. So on this June 19th, I am challenging all of us and everyone watching to do something to stop this inhumane treatment of human beings. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslyn, for always bringing such depth and soul to these meetings. I, for one, really appreciate it. Rich?
Yes, Leslyn, thank you for stating it so well. In thinking about this issue, it called to mind my ancestors who came from Poland and Ireland, and they came with nothing. You know, my grandmother, who came from Ireland, is a source of an opportunity to get a passport for grandchildren, and you have to submit information. And my two of my sisters have used that and gotten Irish passports, but in the process they realized that my grandmother lied about just about everything. And what she did was she said whatever she had to say at the time to get in the country, to get here, to get her opportunity. And it's very easy to discount that desperation, you know, to just not understand where those people are standing when they're terrorized in some foreign country, when they come here seeking asylum. That's different than just trying to sneak into the country. You know, we should be more cognizant of the desperation, and we certainly should be acting as a grown-up country rather than doing what we're doing right now. So thank you for your comments, and I don't mean to just repeat them. I did want to give a shout-out to the Gorgeous Half Marathon on another subject. It was run this past Saturday, the fourth time. It is a wonderful showcase of our county. It starts up in near Jacksonville and uses the Black Diamond Trail and the Waterfront Trail and finishes right near the Commons. I think around 1,200 people came and ran this year. It's really, each year it's built into something more and more. And it reminds everybody who participates just how beautiful a space we live in. So there, and I'd also hope that Dooley Kiefer and Carol Chalk, who came and talked with us earlier at our meeting, are still watching at home. And thanks for coming and sharing your views.
So unless there's any other comments, I'm going to skip over. Is there another one? Ah, Anne.
Thanks, Anna.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Leslyn, and for bringing up those issues. And I heard an interview with a woman who said that that was trying to get to the United States and saying that she would rather have her children die on the way to trying to get to America than die in the conditions that they were in, and that she had to do something. She had to try. And so I'm not sure what we can do, and so maybe this is a discussion that, you know, how we can support them. We'll call your federal representatives, and let's get yes the time read type. So and maybe I don't know if it would help to pass a resolution against this or but it's hard to think about just going on with your normal activities when they're doing that to children. I saw the images of children in these big cages. I mean, it's just incredible. I would not want my pet in a big metal cage, never mind anyone's children. So this is on another topic. This is the last meeting we'll have in LGBTQ Pride Month, and I want to thank Leslyn for writing up the resolution that we passed last meeting. So thank you for that and pushing that forward. We now have Pride flags at all the county buildings. So I wanted to thank all the folks who helped with that. We for Finger Lakes Pulse, the LGBTQ group that I belong to, we have a couple more flags up this year around the county, but some of the places that put flags up last year declined for a couple of reasons to put them up this year. And so I'm really happy that the county is doing this. And just to remind folks, you can look on my Facebook page or Finger Lakes Pulse Facebook page to please share our event, because you don't know if some, you know, one of your friends or associates would be interested in coming. We're having a Pride picnic June 30th. It's a Saturday, starting at 12:30 in Jacksonville Park. So it's on the way to Trumansburg, and it's open to all. We're having, so it's open to LGBTQ allies, it's open to everybody. It's a family-friendly event till 6 o'clock, and it's accessible. It's fairly accessible. We're also getting an accessible porta potty even. So we want to make sure everybody's welcome to come. There's fishing there. We're going to have a lot of games, too. There's trails, and we have a large pavilion and some tents. So please, anybody's welcome to come out.
Thank you, Ann. Deborah?
Yeah, I've got a granddaughter who's 2.5, and I saw that picture of that little girl. And I remember when my husband and I were last in Colorado visiting, my daughter and son-in-law went out to dinner, and my granddaughter had a complete meltdown. She stood there and she sobbed, and she looked at the door, and she kept putting her arms out saying, "Mama." So we have come to such pass that for our administration and some people in this country, it's okay to do that to a 2.5-year-old child. And all I can say to people is, if that hurts you the way it hurts me, we have a primary coming up on June 26th and a state primary on September 12th, I think, and an election in November, and the only way we're going to change this is if we come out and vote. So remember that, please. Thank you.
Mike.
I wasn't going to comment, but Leslyn's comments and Ann's and Deborah, this is so unacceptable, what's going on. A bargaining chip for a wall. It's unbelievable. Five first ladies have spoken out now, including the present first lady, against this. And yet our attorney general, our U.S. attorney general, and our president think this is proper. And some of the folks in the administration are using the Bible to justify this. Give me a break. The Bible doesn't justify this.
Thank you, Leslyn, for starting this, and thank you for everybody's comments. I think that this is it's an important comment. It's important to note. It's important for elected officials to speak publicly on these issues. I wanted to just add quickly to Leslyn's that this past weekend there was a celebration called Juneteenth, and it was an amazing celebration. And it is to honor exactly what Leslyn was speaking about. And I really highly recommend that the whole community support it moving forward. It's every year.
in June, so keep your eyes open for it. It was an amazing event. Leslyn.
Thank you. I forgot when I said all of that I did want to say thanks to the staff and volunteers and board at the Southside Community Center for hosting, putting on that amazing event, and community members. I couldn't be here. I was out of town. But I heard wonderful things about it, and we certainly need to continue to raise consciousness. On a more uplifting note, so I can get myself out of this shake that I'm in right now, we also are everybody is invited, speaking of tourism, this weekend, I believe, is a second annual Reggae Fest. Here in Tompkins County, Stewart Park, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think Saturday is the festival itself at Stewart Park. So please tell all your family members to come and visit Tompkins County and enjoy Reggae Fest at Stewart Park.
Absolutely.
This weekend.
Thank you. I forgot that one, too. Thank you. I'm going to move to the administrator's report, if you have one on top of everything we've already been debating.
I have no report.
You have been practicing. Jonathan, did he pay you to do that and train him on that one?
I'm going to quote the county administrator. I have no report.
Finance director's report?
Short report.
All right.
I have just a few comments from last night's auction that was held down at Green Star. We sold 12 properties. We had 61 registered bidders show up, which is about 20 more than last year. And we had approximately 130 people show up for 12 properties. And last year we had about 70 people attending. So the total receipts, even though this isn't audited, it's not our final numbers yet because we have to concur with the auctioneer and his staff, and my staff have to get together and make sure all the numbers work out. But from my tallies and what we've looked at so far, it appears that total receipts, including the taxes due, was $366,259. And out of that, after we subtract out our anticipated expenses, we should end up with $231,655. So that $231,000 gain compares to last year's gain of only $88,000. So we covered all our expenses, basically, and then some. So I'll be bringing a resolution to the July 3rd legislative meeting in which you have to formally resolve that the properties are sold under the terms of the auction agreements, which are now being executed between now and July 3rd. And that will be wrapping up the auction, the whole auction process for us. But I thought since it just happened last night, I thought I'd bring to you at least a verbal report on a successful auction. Do I have any questions on that?
Shauna?
Can you just sign that check right over to TCAD and we'll call it?
Thank you. I needed that.
I will do 55% of that. And then 45.
I'd like to amend that.
To 35. Anybody have 35? 35 going 35?
35.
Thank you. Thank you. I even have a gavel. Deborah.
Good question. I was wondering, is there any way that we could consider taking auction properties and selling them to an organization like INHS? Or are we strictly limited to it?
The short answer is yes, and we do forward the auction properties when they fall within a certain spectrum or a certain type of property to INHS, and they can look at them and work with that for that. Sometimes it's even possible that INHS can come and bid on a property, if there's no, And so we do work with them. Of course, we're on the, we were on the housing committee together, and sometimes these discussions come up at the House Oversight Committee. But it's a good idea, one that Carol Chalk used to bring up regularly, that they would like to have more ability, more notice, more of our staffs working together to see if that can happen. Sadly to say, in a lot of these cases, some of these houses really aren't houses anymore. Yeah. You know, they're, and some of these trailers really aren't trailers anymore. I've been to some where they're actually cut in half, you know, and laying a trailer in two pieces or something, like somebody drove through it. But there's always interested people in real estate, and they showed up last night, and that was good. Any other questions on that piece?
I don't see any other questions. Do you want to move to the
sales? The only other thing is sales tax. If you look in your red folder, you should have a sales tax report for May. And in May, you can see by looking at the center of the spreadsheet, the county's portion was up 5.17% compared to last year. At the end of May, if you look at the year-to-date figures, the county's portion is $13,771,000 compared to $13,129,000 the May before in 2017. The increase year-over-year is $642,000, and the year-over-year percentage increase at this point in time, 5 months of the year, is 4.89%.
Yeah. Any questions?
And Jason's redoing his whole budget now based on that comment, I think, for 2009.
Loosening the strings.
That's not true.
A couple more months we'll have under our belt before we have to solidify and account for, you know, for what we're going to be putting in the 2019 budget. But we'll have a couple more months yet to go before our sales tax projections are more finalized for 2019.
Anne?
Thanks for the report, Rick. So is the 6.5%, is that on, that's the year-to-date increase now? At the end?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
642.
No, it's month over.
$642,000 is the year-over-year increase. We made that much more than last year at this time, and the percentage increase is 4.89%.
So 4.89% is okay. So that's the increase.
That's the increase.
Cool. Okay. So I'd like to pass this down to the other municipalities. So.
Right, and if you look further down in the spreadsheet, the municipalities portion, because we break them into three groups, they're actually at 6.5% increase year over year.
Year to date.
Year to date, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, so just formality, resolutions added to or withdrawn from the agenda, are there any? All right, moving on to committees. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee.
In the words of the county administrator, I have no report.
Moving on to Transportation Committee, then, Mike.
Well, government operate. No, I'm sorry, on the other side.
Transportation Committee has not met since our last meeting.
All right. This is the speedy part of the meeting. Government Operations. We have Vice Chair Deborah Dawson.
Okay. Well, I have Dan's report, which I will read. The Government Operations Committee met on June 7th. We began a discussion about the declining number of people who participate in the local advisory boards of assessment review. These are the temporary boards that were set up for individual landowners to come in and challenge their assessments, and they take place in each municipality, usually one legislator. Well, you've all been on them, so you know. Next month, we will continue the discussion and consider modifications to the current system that would use our resources more efficiently. It's important to understand that even if we do end up cutting back somewhat on local advisory boards of assessment review, there will still be numerous opportunities for landowners to challenge their assessments. We also heard from our assessment department about how New York State is making it more difficult to receive the enhanced STAR exemption for lower income seniors. Apparently, there are like three different pieces of this thing. And it used to be that you'd only have to file, I think, one application and some sort of waiver that allows the state to look at your tax return. But now, especially for the people who are very low income, who don't file tax returns, they're going to have to file this particular statement of their income every year. A lot of them don't realize it. Many of them are seniors. They are not tech savvy. And I will say that it makes me proud to live in Tompkins County, to listen to Jay Franklin talk about the length that his office will go to make sure that these people do not lose their assessments. The bottom line is if we can get as many of them as possible to sign up by September 15th, they can avoid the complications of this future paperwork. And as Dan writes, our assessment department deserves credit for being so proactive about saving our lower-income seniors substantial money. Greg Potter, head of our information technology department, reported to us that he's been in contact with our website vendor, and we are exploring a free upgrade to our site. The upgrades might include simplification of the homepage, better links to the department pages, better Americans with Disability Act compliance, and a more mobile, responsive site. We will receive an update on the process this summer. We were also presented with information about how we might modify our policies concerning reimbursements to county legislators for mileage and parking reimbursement. I'm sure we're all waiting for that with bated breath. Now, you will have gotten an email from Dan about his concerns about extending our legislative minutes policy to our advisory boards. Jason informed me today and probably touched base with some of you who are on the committee that we already have an advisory board minutes policy, so I'm sure Dan would be happy to have you vote for the resolution that passed out of GO, which deals only with the legislature's minutes. And with that, I will move resolution H, approving revisions to administrative policy 0001, minutes of meetings of the legislature, legislative standing committees, and special committees of the legislature, ID number 7882.
Mike, are you seconding it? You have a second? Any questions? Leslin?
Every now and again, I like being Deborah.
I like being Leslin, too.
Good or bad, Deborah?
I do evil things, and I can get away. Blame it on Deborah.
Bad Deborah.
That's bad Deborah.
It's Leslin, it's Deborah. On package page 52, and I apologize to the GO committee that I didn't get this to you earlier, but I didn't catch it. Package page 52, number 2 under B, raised a little bit of a concern and red flag for me. I like the language as provided of the persons who spoke. The list of the persons who spoke should be included. That's fine. And it says a brief statement of the topic of discussion. I am a little concerned about that. And I thought perhaps it should just be and just a topic of their discussion as opposed to a brief statement of the topic of their discussion. So if someone came to speak about taxes, then we say, you know, taxes, you know, the topic was taxes, as opposed to
what they actually said.
Paraphrasing what they actually said. I don't know if that's substantive and it means it's got to go back to GO. I was just, I missed that when I went through all the other things, and that's the only part that got me.
I would consider that friendly if it's okay with Kathy Covert, because this is really her policy.
Yes, I think that's fine. There's no objection.
Any objections? That's considered friendly, and that is the new policy.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Leslin.
Being friendly.
You weren't so bad.
That was good, Deborah. Any other questions or comments? All ready to vote? All in favor? All opposed? That is 12-0.
And then I have one more thing, which is moving the appointment of J.R. Claiborne to the Public Information Advisory Board for a term expiring December 31st, 2020.
Mike, second. Any questions? Leslin.
I asked for that to be pulled because I know this gentleman really well.
Is he qualified?
He was the worst journalist ever. There's no money in it for us, and so I wanted to make sure that it was okay with Jonathan if I voted on it or should I not vote on it. I'm married to this man, so I just want to make sure.
You could vote on it. I think it'll pass anyway.
It'll pass anyway, but that'll, gosh, commitment. All right, so I just wanted to make sure that I disclose that J.R. Claiborne is my husband.
Okay. All in favor? All opposed? And that passes unanimously. Thank you, Deba, for that report and the amendments. Moving on to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, I've asked Vice Chair Amanda to give the report.
Woohoo! So exciting. It's my first report. But there's not much to say. We met last Thursday for a very long and stimulating and dynamic conversation with TCAD. I think we had the same and more protracted conversation here. We're meeting again next Monday at 3:00 here. And I have one resolution, which is Resolution I, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, Office of Employment and Training, ID 7867.
A second, Deborah. Any questions? Did you want to give an introduction?
I have nothing to say about it.
Any comments or questions? This is a short roll call.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Anyone opposed? That passes unanimously. And the next meeting is on the 25th, right, which you already said, next Monday.
3:00.
Moving on to Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We met on June 12th, and we spent quite a bit of time talking with Arinthia Montague and Blixie Tetch about the TC3 budget, which we've moved on tonight already. But I think it's really important. We probed it quite carefully, learning about some of the actions they've had to take. We talked a lot about the Cortland issue and whether we could persuade them to add a little something to the sponsor's share of the budget, which we failed at. But I know that last year we looked at something we could help them with that would save them money in their budget over a long period of time. And we actually funded that as an over target for them later in the budget year. And I believe, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jason, you're going to be talking with some of the folks at TC3 about what their needs are.
Friday morning, yes.
Thank you for that. The other thing, we continue to talk about our process for evaluating the four direct reports. Hopefully by now everybody has responded. Apparently there's some technical problems with a couple that didn't get their answers, didn't go through properly. But if you received a email from me saying that, or from Stephen Estes saying that he doesn't have your response, please work it out with him so we can have everybody have 100% participation. As I've said before, even if you can't evaluate a particular question, at least try to do the best you can with all the rest of the questions. And we've already took our resolution, which was the TC3 budget. So that's pretty much my report.
Thank you, Mike.
Except, Jason, I put this question to you earlier, and I'm still confused. Is it tomorrow you have the deputy county administrator candidates, or
yes.
And what are you looking for legislators to do?
Legislators have a meet and greet with the candidates at the, I believe it's at the mental health building.
At what time?
9 o'clock, to be there at 8:45. This morning we got an email from Woody to meet at 8:45 for a 9 a.m. start.
So is this just legislators, or is it?
Legislators and all department heads that are not part of the interview panel.
So, and how long do we expect that to go?
Till 2:15.
We have two tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Two? I have three.
Wait a minute, I'm confused.
Oh, they've been moved. Okay. So all three of them are tomorrow until 2:15. Is that correct?
You're expecting us to be there until all day?
It's an hour and 15 minutes.
Each.
Each.
And so there's three.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the email right now. I apologize.
Sorry.
Let me read through it and I can come back to it, if that's all right.
Would you please?
Yes, I'm sorry. My schedule is different than yours.
Okay.
Sorry. Lunch I'm is getting the times mixed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, lunch is provided. There's a gap.
Right.
Do you actually mind sending the email again? I did not receive that.
Yes, I can.
He's going to come back to us.
Yeah, I'll come back
to us. Let's come back, and I'm going to go to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslyn.
Yeah, we're going to meet next week. Next Wednesday will be our meeting. I don't have a formal report because we reported at the last meeting, but I do want to acknowledge, which I missed doing on public privilege of the floor, the passing of civil rights leader and educator Dorothy Cotton in our community. Dorothy was right hand to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and often, you know, women in those days didn't get the spotlight like our men folk did, but she was a stalwart community member here, certainly an activist for everything human rights, and this community benefited from her knowledge and her being here, and we will miss her tremendously. So I wanted to make sure that we acknowledge her contribution and her passing, and I probably will, I should have brought something to the legislature just acknowledging that. I don't know the details of her funeral arrangements, but I hope at some point we can do something to recognize Mrs. Dorothy Cotton, who has gone on to be with the ancestors.
She was definitely a pillar of the civil rights movement. I'd like to honor it here just temporarily, and we can do something more formal with a moment of silence. Thank you, Leslyn. Moving on to the Housing Committee, I'm hoping that Mike Sigler, the Vice Chair, has a report from the previous meeting or a date for the next meeting.
I do. Martha left it to me. We did take a secret vote while Martha wasn't there just to give her the $3 million.
Of course. It's true.
I'd be happy when she gets back to hear that.
Plus 2%.
How much
are they from
hotel?
Yeah, from room tax.
Yeah, how about 55% from hotel?
No, it was a good meeting. So the Tompkins County Housing Market Funding Resource and Solutions Analysis. This is something that Jennifer Tavares in the chamber and George Ferrari and the community group, they are teaming up to do this. They are banging this thing out, so they say. So they expect to have this report out by September, was my understanding, at least by fall. And this will give us some kind of guidance onto kind of where we should head with affordable housing. Martha, she's like, let's do this now. And they're saying, well, we're going to do this when we have this report. So we're going to still work on it. There's still a lot of work to be done to kind of, if she wants to do this fund, there's a lot of work to be done. In the short term, you know, we need to get an AG opinion from the state on whether we can even do this kind of fund. And, you know, we're going to, on infrastructure especially, we're going to wait for the chamber study because really what needs to be done? Are we going to directly fund, you know, affordable housing? Are we just going to prepare the ground? Like, are we going to work on water and sewer and sidewalks? And, I mean, that seems to be the kind of thing that a government would be better at doing. So that is what we are working on. And that is about it. We had a long talk about how to spend the reserve fund. And I suggest you all do pipe in on that, because some of us do not think it should go towards funding developers directly. Others are more open to that idea. And still, pretty much all of us, I think, we're pretty open to the idea of water and sewer. But then which town gets the money, who doesn't get money, you know, there's a lot there. There's a lot to dig into, which we'll have to come in front of all of you, actually, to make it happen. So.
And I suggest, I highly suggest, Martha gave us a three-page summary of all of the comments and ideas that have been put together for what type of support in housing that we need consolidated into one document, and it was a great summary. So anybody who wants that can reach out to Martha.
Can we all get copies?
Yeah, absolutely. I will ask her to send an electronic copy out. Public Safety Committee, Rich John.
Thank you, Anna. The Public Safety Committee met on June 6th. We had a presentation from the Labella Associates on the public safety building, looking at some sketches of possible modifications to the jail space for more programming rooms. And then also, if we were to move the road patrol and the civil offices out of the building into a separate space, it's very preliminary. There's very far to go before we'd be in a position to make any kind of decision, but it was interesting to see the plans and how much square footage we'd need and how it could be laid out. Certainly more to come there. We also had a good discussion at the meeting about school resource officers, and no action was taken, but we just had a good discussion about it. The next meeting will be July 3rd before the legislative meeting. The Public Safety Committee is going to meet at 3 for an hour, and then we're going to have a joint meeting with the Health and Human Services Committee meeting, where we will be considering supervised injection facilities and having a discussion on that subject.
Thank you. Shauna Black for Health and Human Services. Oh, I'm sorry, Leslin.
That's all right. That's all right. Rich, or maybe this is a question for Jason. I wonder if we can get a little bit of an update on how things are going with the new criminal justice coordinator position. What particular projects or what are we working on?
Yeah. Sure. I'll start. You can correct me. I've been very pleased with how that's rolled out so far. The criminal justice coordinator is chairing the Criminal Justice Alternatives to Incarceration Committee. And principally, well, not principally, but largely has been leading discussions on how do we measure performance of all of our criminal justice activities. And as you know, we've invested a significant amount of new money in 2018 into initiatives to increase our alternatives to incarceration, to expand and to do new initiatives. And we want to know what's working and what isn't working. And because of the new coordinator's background in results-based accountability, we're using that system to drive measurement systems, and that's principally where he's been working in terms of his time. But I think it's time well spent, and we're getting somewhere. For example, we've had some good discussions about what does recidivism mean? You know, how do you measure that? Is it rearrest? Is it prosecution? Is it conviction? Is it some sort of involvement with the criminal justice system? And there's different ramifications for that, and, you know, how you're going to measure, obviously. So that's where a lot of the time has gone. But, Jason, you can supplement that.
I mean, that's a good he's also working on other performance measurements. So, for example, Raise the Age is a discussion that we're trying to figure out how to measure success with Raise the Age initiatives. And he's working generally on performance measurements across the organization. So still last year, the county rolled out probably a three-year plan, bringing 10 departments on a year for over a three-year period of performance measurements. He's now wrapping up with the first
10 or so, and moving into year two with them and moving into year one with the next 10. So he's working on training some of the, each of the departments and staffing of those departments, starting to beginning to set base performance measurements for them. And that's similar and very similar work as to what are the metrics for alternatives to incarceration. So there's a lot of balancing. You know, the key to the performance measurement piece is understanding what you're measuring, is it valuable, and how you're measuring success over time. And once you begin to have that foundation laid, then it becomes a regular part of you know, monthly and quarterly reporting, and then also review as to, are we meeting our mark, are we not meeting our mark? If not, why? If so, why? And then that ultimately changes decisions or how behavior, you know, decisions or funding mechanisms or how we approach certain items. So this is maybe his third month rolling so far, so he's still, I would say, getting situated. I probably will be for the next 6 months. The alternatives to incarceration measurements, I think if we had a stable group of measurements by the end of the calendar year, we would be doing well, because some of these initiatives are still just getting started. So it's kind of a, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't happen overnight, but he's working with the criminal justice, you know, in terms of incarceration group. That's a big group with a lot of different elements that come into play. So he's trying to take all this data that you have, you know, honing it down into some basic measurements and then building from there. But he's keeping busy.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Rich.
Shauna?
Excuse me. I had actually seen him at one of the lead meetings, and he came. He was very prepared. He really knew his stuff. And I really liked the aspect of him reaching out to some of the organizations that were in the room. He had a conversation, as well as had already met with URO to have a conversation about what kind of information and data they were seeking. So I think that's a really important part of his role, is being able to work with the different organizations that are at the table. And, you know, his feeling comfortable with working with both the officers as well as URO and the many different groups. And I think he did a really great job.
Dave has purposely reached out and met with any group that wants to meet with him to discuss mm-hmm. metrics, which I think only betters their performance in the long run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got a great rapport with everyone he comes in contact with. So he's definitely, and he's taken the time. He's reached out, like you said, to a lot of different folks. I think Lead asked him to come to the last meeting, and Dave was very prepared for it. Had RBA is a system that we use. They're also Kings County in, you know, Washington also uses RBA, so they had all their, he has had access to all their metrics from their lead program. A little side note is the State Office of Child Family Services is also engaging with the group that we have for RBA, and they actually asked him to attend a conference last week for a day in Syracuse and train some of the state folks on what the state is going to be and some of the other counties on what the state's going to be expecting with performance measurements. So he was actually used as a kind of a trainer and a best practice by the company that does this, that the state has hired to do this for the state. So we definitely, you know, we'll probably be a test or a pilot program to set the example for other communities, which is a, you know, a good thing.
Beautiful. Thank you. This is great to hear. Do we have a timeline on reporting of this data that he's collecting?
Tentatively, my goal is to include some of the performance measurements with the budget document. I'll be very upfront, full disclosure, we do not have all the departments even beginning into the system, and some of the alternative to incarcerations may not be, you know, data may not be ready to present. But the goal is to have some level of data available for the budget document. I think eventually we want to be able to be in a position where it's part of the departmental presentations, some basic metrics that would say this would determine success in the department.
Wonderful.
So that's long-term goal.
Great, thank you. Any other questions before we move on? All right, Shauna Black for Health and Human Services Committee.
Our committee met June 11th, where we welcomed Scott McLeod from the Sophie's Fund, also Sharon McDougall from the Department of Mental Health came and gave a presentation on suicide prevention. The Department of Mental Health also hosted a seminar yesterday called Zero Suicide. And essentially, it is an initiative that many healthcare providers are starting to look at. None in New York State have actually implemented Zero Suicide. The basis of the program is to provide better follow-up healthcare for people that are struggling with suicide thoughts. and to provide better, also better mental health services throughout throughout the county or throughout the healthcare system. It is something that was voted in by the Suicide Prevention Coalition here in Tompkins County, so something that our employees will be trained on, as well as we will look to implement, I'm assuming, over the next year or 2 years or so. Let's see here, the rescue mission was another topic that has come up a bit. We have heard that they no longer want to provide shelter services or provide arrangements for cold weather hotel recipients. Therefore, KIT is working on putting out an RFP to receive contracts of those that might be interested in providing those services. The contract will will end for the rescue mission in October and hopefully start for someone else in November. So.
Wonderful. Any questions for Shauna? All right.
I just want Shauna to not have another meeting like that ever again. It was the saddest ever.
It was pretty intense.
Ever. Do not put all those people on the agenda again.
Yeah. Not all at the same time.
It was
spread
bad.
Out a little bit. That's all right. So we do not have any individual member filed resolutions. I'll move to the minutes of previous meetings, June 5th, 2018. Can I have someone move those? I have Shauna, Amanda seconding them. Any questions or comments? All right. All in favor of accepting the minutes? Any opposed? That is unanimous, 12 to 0 on target. Is there any other, Mike?
I wanted to ask Kathy Cover, when will the new minute policy start? Will it be this minutes or?
Yes, so immediately.
We'll notice the change with these minutes coming.
All right.
Thank you.
I have Amanda, then Jason.
Yeah, I was just getting back to.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I had. Thank you. 9 o'clock is your first meet and greet. 9 to 10:15. The second is 10:30 to 11:45. The third is after lunch, which will be provided 1 to 2:15 at the mental health building, sixth floor boardroom.
So they will be all at the mental health.
Yes, they will. The next candidate will be June 26th from 10 to 11:15. Same place.
Thank you, Jason.
And they want us there at 8:45.
They want you there at 8:45. You should have received or have received an email today from Michael Woody at 4:21. I asked him to send out a reminder to everyone.
Can you repeat the 26th time?
26th is 10 to 11:15.
Thank you.
On the 26th. And that is in the same place. I know. We're all taking vacation time on this. So unless there is any unfinished business, I'd like to adjourn. Anybody want to move that? Deborah, anyone want to second it? Shauna, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for your endurance.